Hello? Hello, this is the president. Hello, this is the president of the United States. Who is this? Is it you again?
Look behind you.
This is my private line. How did you get through?
They're everywhere. All the time. We see them every day. But you have to look behind you.
There is nothing behind me. How did you get this number?
The spaceman told me.
What spaceman?
It doesn't matter. I'm telling you about monsters. Please, you must look behind you.
Young lady, there are no monsters in the Oval Office.
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
give up.
Give up.
Give up.
I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. The numbers to call tonight, 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Welcoming all listeners from Godlike Productions. I was just on GLP live feed with a gang at GLP discussing the Malaysian plane. A lot of great theories out there. And tonight I'm opening the phones for your theories, but I have some of my own, or I have one of my own, actually, that I want to talk about tonight. And the reason why is because, well, when I arrived at the office this morning, I was approached by many people. What's your opinion on this? What's your opinion on the missing Malaysian plane? And I'm sure many people that were asking me these questions, I'm sure they were expecting me to come up with some sort of strange explanation for the plane vanishing along with the 227 passengers on board. And while the strange and the peculiar paranormal are out there describing this, I would tell many of them who approached me that perhaps I have an explanation, and that explanation may not be as strange as one might think, but then again, it's a very... People say, well, it's improbable, but I'm beginning to wonder if it's improbable or as strange as one might think. I mean, if we rethink the entire scenario without giving into the easy no-brainer notion, well, you can't rule out terrorism. I swear, I see that on CNN and Fox. You can't rule out terrorism. I can rule out terrorism, okay? We are the only country right now who says, well, it's terrorism. And I'm just thinking to myself, you know, why? I know why. It gets ratings because if someone gets on there and says, guess what? The Iranian guys were on the plane and guess what? It's terrorism. Everybody's like, hey, what? It's terrorism. My God, I can't fly. Let's have more security and more surveillance state. Oh my gosh, save us, Barack Obama. I'm going to rule out terrorism. But I'll be made wrong, I'm sure. People will say, well, the news says it's terrorism. It has to be terrorism. Let's go fight them damn Chinese. I don't know. I just say, you know, that's a no-brainer. Any war hawk can come up with terrorism. Any notion of terrorists or anything else. And, you know, and I'm sure people say, well, I'm sure Clyde Lewis thinks that it's a time rip of some sort. No. It could be, but no. I mean, heck, Einstein talked about Rosenbridges. They talked about how we could, they're like little black holes or like spinning through time where we can actually go through time rifts or whatever. I maybe figure out how a plane just vanishes without a trace. I mean, if anyone can give you an explanation as to that, how a plane just goes, but it's gone. I don't know. So what was funny is that I was sitting down with, I always have this conversation. I got to say hello to him, Louis, I always have a conversation with him. I sit at his desk. I sit at his office near his desk, and I just talk to him about stuff. because he wants to know, and I love talking to Louis. He's awesome. And so I said, for the record, whatever I say about this mysterious event, it's all speculation. And so, you know, at this point, at any moment, my speculations could be dismissed as nonsense because, you know, they could come up and say, we have proof there was terrorism. But I don't want it. Sorry. It's terrorism. No. So I just, you know, and as I was sitting, you know, as I was sitting there talking today, I just, I had to talk about one crazy idea that I had. This is the craziest thing I could come up with, okay? And I don't necessarily think this happened, but I don't know if anybody out there has ever read anything by Charles Berlitz. But Berlitz wrote a book called Dragon's Triangle. And it gives a terrifying account of a predatory attack from the air upon human beings on an aircraft. And what Berlitz wrote, what he claims, is that there was a guy by the name of Robert Gardner who had documented an attack that happened on an aircraft in 1939. And what it was, is it was a military transport plane. It took off from the San Diego Naval Air Station. And as it moved over the Pacific Ocean, it transmitted a frantic SOS call. And then the plane fell silent. It's like it disappeared, right? And then all of a sudden it came back. And they were able to get the plane back to San Diego where it landed safely. Well, ground personnel, they scrambled to get onto the aircraft and they eventually boarded it. And what was odd about this whole thing was when they finally got on the aircraft, they noticed something very peculiar about the exterior of the plane. And what they saw is that the plane had been badly damaged and was torn open in places. When they finally got inside, they were horrified to discover that out of the 13 men on board, 12 were dead. The co-pilot was alive but died before he had a chance to tell the story about what attacked the plane. All the bodies of the crew had massive, gaping wounds. The pilot and co-pilot had emptied their guns at something that frightened them. The incident was classified until 1954. So what was it that attacked that plane, that ripped holes in the plane, and it disappeared, ripped holes in the plane, and then came back safely with only one guy bringing the plane back? Finally, he died too. So it's a crazy story called Dragon's Triangle. And I believe it happened over the same area where the Malaysian flight, it was like, that's why they call it Dragon's Triangle. It talks about the triangle that's over the Black Sea. And it was over the Pacific, took off from San Diego, came back to San Diego and landed without problems. But still, something had destroyed it over that area. So I said that's a story that I knew about, you know, the Black Sea Triangle. It's called the Dragon's Triangle. And, of course, it's kind of like, you know, this whole Devil's Triangle, this whole Bermuda Triangle thing. But the vanishing of this Malaysian plane, it's of course, got headlines everywhere. And everybody has their piece of the pie. I was watching Al Jazeera today, and they're focusing on the Iranians, too. But they're looking at it from the standpoint of these are just innocent guys. And there's really nothing to worry about. And I've heard all sorts of crazy ideas as to what has happened, and I find the most annoying explanation, terrorism. I just think it's annoying. ABC News, right here in America, is reporting CIA chief not ruling out terrorism in Malaysia Airlines tragedy. Meanwhile, Australian ABC says Interpol all but rules out terrorism. It just seems like we've got Australia, ABC News, America, not ruling out, or Interpol all but rules out. And I just think the American media is grasping at the terrorist draws for yet another reason to declare an act of war. And I shake my head wondering why is this to be the first assumption rather than looking in directions that are perhaps a bit outside the box. I mean, I'm not assuming aliens. Maybe a little. But anyone can do better than a default explanation of terrorism. I mean, I remember the War of the Worlds when it was remade. Spielberg remade the War of the Worlds. When the aliens attacked, you know, they had tripods and blasters and everything, and they were taking out, like, bridges and underpasses and overpasses. And they're in this car, Tom Cruise and Dakota Fanning, that other dorky looking guy. And he's in the car with them and they're all like, you know, scared to death. And the first thing Dakota Fanning says is, what is it, terrorists? Because that's the first thing we think of. That's the default. I mean, I'm sure if aliens were to invade, we'd think it's terrorists. And when I first heard about the disappearance of MH370, there were two things that came to my mind, okay? The first thing was that I remember that the first real mysterious plane disaster I had to cover for Ground Zero was TWA Flight 800. And there was something else. The second thing I thought about, two or three nights ago, we did a show about the passing of these huge asteroids. One had passed over, then another one passed over, and then we got a big one that's supposed to pass by tonight or today. And I was saying, well, you know, be ready for all things to be sweeping through, flashes of light, fireballs, and be ready for that. Be ready for earthquakes in various places. We've had a few, right? And I also said, you know, remember, 800-pound rock exploded on the moon a week and a half ago. And so, you know, it's not out of the question that we may be seeing a lot of fireballs and asteroids and things exploding over certain populated areas. Well, Tyler, a commercial jet pilot from Illinois, called the program, and he had some very chilling things to say. And this was couple of nights ago. I mean, actually, it was the night before the plane went missing. It was two nights before the plane went missing. He called the program, and he said something very haunting, and I want to play it for you coming up. Stay tuned for that. For those of you that remember, that listen to the show, Tyler was a commercial airplane pilot out of Illinois who had been flying for about 7 years. And he said that in his career, he'd seen some very strange things in the sky. And we'll talk about that coming up on Ground Zero. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. We'll be back.
FM News 101 KXL.
Business as usual in the apocalypse. Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis.
Tyler, who's a listener to this program, is a pilot, and he's been flying for about 7 years. He called the program two nights before the Malaysian flight disappeared. And what he had to say was very, very interesting and timely, considering that we've been passing through a lot of asteroids and rocks and fireballs that have been seen all over the place. Here's Tyler's call to Ground Zero. And now let's go to Tyler, calling in from Illinois tonight. Hi, Tyler, you're on Ground Zero.
Hey, Clyde, how are you doing tonight?
Doing great.
I was just calling in. I'm a commercial airline pilot. I've been flying commercially now with the airline for about 4 years, and overall flying just about 7 years. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed, you know, over the last year, that I've had two close calls with pretty substantial rock falling out of the sky. And people that have flown with that have been flying their entire lives. These things have never happened to them throughout their entire careers. And it's pretty odd to see this stuff happening on a more frequent basis.
You're right up there, too. You'll be able to, you know, they're coming in. And, my gosh, how close would you say these fireballs have come to you in your time?
You know, up at the upper altitudes, it's kind of hard to judge the distance and stuff, but I'd say anywhere between 10, 15, 20 miles.
Wow.
It's enough late at night. You know, we fly with the cockpit pretty much completely blacked out so we can see the other airplanes out there. But we've gotten close enough to a couple of them that it literally lit up the entire cockpit to the point where it was almost as if you were flying through a thunderstorm and lightning struck.
Was there any concussion types of explosions or sonic booms or thunder from those?
From flying, you really can't tell. I mean, we're going through the air so fast that it's just pretty instantaneous. But mm-hmm. No turbulence or anything like that off of it. The one of the ones that I have seen that was over the skies of Arizona, we were on top of a cloud layer that went through, and it actually, the rock itself lit up, illuminated the entire tops of the clouds. And my jet, as well as probably five or six other airliners, we all reported it to ATC. And never really heard anything back from the FAA on it.
What was the response? So the FAA did not respond to the huge fireballs that came close to the planes.
No, I actually made the first report to air traffic control, and they just started trying to triangulate where it was based on our position and other aircraft around that that asked for it. And then they're all asking us if we could actually see any impact in the ground, but of course we couldn't with the overcast sky.
Right.
But other than that, there was no other follow-ups. The FAA never tried to make contact with any of us on that.
Do you feel helpless when you see those fireballs when you're in the plane?
What is that?
I said, do you feel helpless or a sense of helplessness when you see those fireballs when you're flying in the plane?
Oh, yeah, because there's absolutely no way that we'll know where they're at and when they're coming. And like I said, the times that it's both happened to me, I've made reports to air traffic control. You don't even see that stuff on the radar. It happens so fast.
Now, I remember there was a fireball that was seen over Portland, Oregon, and it wasn't detected until 30,000 feet. So they didn't detect it, or they didn't. All they saw was the trail that it left. But at 30,000 feet, it just showed up out of nowhere and exploded. So they didn't know what it was.
Yeah, it's like said anymore. It seems like, and these are people I've flown that have been doing this for their whole careers, and we've never seen this stuff. And just this last year, it seems to be more frequent.
Right. And they always
there's something bigger out there that might have been. We're getting the spare parts off of the main piece that's moving this way.
Yeah, that's what it feels like too. Tyler, thank you for your call and thank you so much for your insight, being a pilot and letting us know that there is an increase of the fireball reports and that planes are now coming close to them, maybe 10 or 15 miles away. That's very frightening.
Yeah, have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye. You bet. Man. Imagine being a pilot with all those souls on board. You're flying them to the destination, and then 15 miles in front of you, it's a huge explosion. It's a fireball. And you're afraid you may fly right into it. And what if that's what happened to that plane, that Malaysian plane, as it flew over an area known as the Devil's Sea or the Dragon's Triangle? It's a place that is far more notorious than the Devil's Triangle ever could be. The Devil's Sea is over the Black Sea, and there have been many reports of this type of activity going on, planes just disappearing. But see, you know, we can expand a little bit on the ideas of outrageous theories of time rifts opening up, or perhaps even aliens abducting aircraft. But here we are in the midst of large fireballs coming down out of the sky that we've reported off and on, huge, huge asteroids coming close, potentially hazardous objects coming close to the planet. We've warned you of them, and now it's happening. People seeing fireballs all over the place. But imagine being in an aircraft and having one come close, and you can't stop. Now think about it. If you were to be in one of those aircraft, and something came at you, something the size of, something as little, small as a thumbnail, going three times, four times the speed of a bullet, can you imagine what it would do to an aircraft? It would rip through it, and it would disintegrate, and it would completely pulverize it. I mean, I don't know if anybody's seen the movie Gravity, but in that film, it was space rocks that took out the space stations, and the astronauts had to find ways to get away from these small rocks. It's like sandblasting. It's like turning an entire aircraft, a space station, perhaps even a commercial airliner, into something that would be like paper mache. Probably not even enough time to explode, just plenty of time to fall apart with all the passengers and everything in its wake. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. We'll be back with more. Keep it here on Ground Zero.
With Clyde Lewis and Ground Zero on FM News 101.
Homicide. bison has survived the sun and is now moving away from the sun toward the earth. Now, welcome, Cornelius.
People heading to work today warbling snap pictures of a strange fireball in the sky. Take a look at these newer photos. This happened right around sunrise. You can see flames and a smoking trail in the sky. Scientists think this was a meteor that traveled from west to east and exploded somewhere over Rose City.
Imagery just released by NASA shows a streak of light moving away from the sun. Some scientists believe that comet Ison did not disintegrate as it rounded the sun, as previously thought. Its tail, which grew brighter Friday, suggested to some scientists that at least some of Ison remains in one piece.
A fire in the sky was spotted all around the Portland area this morning. Take a look at these. Snapshots are pretty amazing. You can see a column of flames and a smoky trail. The helicopter photographer at our sister station, K2, got a good shot of the aftermath. It looked like a black corkscrew in the sky. So what was it? According to the U.S. Strategic Command, no man-made objects re-entered the atmosphere in that area this morning. Some experts believe it was a meteorite that exploded several miles up. We know this. It started going out with a bang, didn't it?
Look, where are these pictures?
Good view. Star, the full magnitude of the Scorpio constellation. If you will observe closely, you will notice that a small, bright meteor has detached itself from the star.
Looks not. He looks at us.
And is hurtling through space at incredible speed. What is its destination?
I'm Clyde Lewis, and you are listening to Ground Zero. Tonight is the Odyssey of the Malaysian craft. Where did it go? Where did it disappear to? You know, this reminds me of the TWA Flight 800 situation. In 1996, when I was reporting for both CNN and Ground Zero, I was given the opportunity to speak with the National Transportation Safety Board, authority or someone, a spokesperson for the NTSB. And we were talking about the TWA Flight 800 case, and the spokesperson that I had a chance to speak with told me that the cause of the crash of the aircraft was actually an act of God. And I wanted to probe deeper into what that meant, act of God. And the guy indicated to me that NASA had been involved with the investigation into Flight 800 because of reports that fireballs had been sighted in the general area. And this was about a year before that there was a lot of fireball activity. And this was back in 1995, 1996. And that a lot of witnesses said they saw a bright light, looked like a flare, but it was green, hit the aircraft. Now, some people say it came up from the ground and hit the craft. Other people say it came from the back end and hit the craft. That's why we have that whole idea that it was hit by a rocket or an RPG or an Aegis or whatever. And so, I dug deeper and, the person just told me that, there was the act of God hypothesis was pretty much the idea that a meteor or a rock or a space debris or something had crashed into the plane and then basically the front of the plane or the middle tank exploded. The front of the plane flew off and that the entire thing happened so quickly they didn't even know what hit them. And so I had also looked into some other I wanted some proof that maybe there was some fireballs or stuff going on there. And I did some investigating, and apparently Montauk, the facility out there in New York, there off the Atlantic where all these things went down. Well, there was a base next, it was an adjacent base next to Brookhaven National Laboratory, which conducts experiments with ion colliders and particle accelerators. And there was a kind of a running, it's not a running gag, but a running theory that out there, right off the Atlantic, near all those areas, is something called the Block Island Triangle. And that the lab had been doing radioactive plutonium work and all kinds of other things, and they were worried about strangeness, just like they worried about with CERN conducting experiments with a collider, and that they were seeing a lot of strange things happening, including fireballs coming out of the sky. And some people even saw huge, strange lightning in the sky, strange things happening because they were using weird kind of technology in that area. So I did some digging, and I contacted a few people to see if I could find something that would indicate that in that general area there would be this type of activity going on. Well, there's a very famous recording of pilots, a Lufthansa pilot of an aircraft, another guy who was, I think, a British Airways pilot, and they're flying East Coast right there in that general area. And what do they see? They see something coming out of the sky. Now, this is what's interesting, is that it's been said to be one of the biggest proofs of UFOs, that there were UFOs in that area in 1995. But I listened to it, and now that I know what I know about flight TWA 5800, Swiss Air 111, and all these other planes that went down, the Egypt airplane that went down, I tend to wonder about that area and whether or not it was during a time of heavy fireball activity, because the TWA Flight 800 case happened in 1996, and I had asked the spokesperson for the NTSB, I said, what are the chances of a plane getting hit by a fireball or a huge meteor? And he says, 1 in 10 million. And I said, that's a pretty, you know, those are long odds. And he said, yeah, but he says, you know, 1 in 10 million, you win the lottery, you get struck by lightning, whatever, it happens. And I, you know, I thought, yeah, okay, but I wanted to find some proof. So I have a recording that I want to play for you of how in that general area of where TWA Flight 800 came down, there it seemed to be a time with a, where there were a lot of UFO sightings and fireball sightings. Listen to this very compelling exchange between pilots and I believe it's Boston Air Control. Listen to this.
Boston Air Control, 405, 405, guys. We just passed traffic on the left wing, about 2,000 feet above us. What kind of traffic was it?
This was
Times of 405. That's all, 405. We had all the traffic on the left wing. Can you confirm that?
This was Times of 405. Negative. I show no traffic in your area within 20 or 30 miles.
It should be on our tail about 10 miles. We passed it just 1 minute ago, and it was looking straight.
All right, Steamer 226 confirmed that. Yeah, it's just above us on our left-hand side about 3 minutes ago.
And what altitude does it appear to be at Lufthansa 405?
It was only 2 or 3,000 feet above us. We are now passing Channel 260, but perhaps 210 or 290.
Lufthansa 405, roger.
Steamer 226, we confirmed that. We had something go past us about 1 to 2,000 feet above on the left-hand side. It looked like a green trail on it with a very bright light at the front of it. We assumed it was an opposite traffic.
Steamer 226, roger that.
The speedboat is now ahead of us or behind us, so where is it?
Lufthansa 405, the speedboat is in your 12 o'clock and about 30 miles, 40 miles. And the heading of the traffic, was it the same direction or opposite direction?
Exactly opposite, Lufthansa 405.
Roger, did it pass off your right side?
Left side.
Roger.
Yeah, and the speedboat 226 confirmed that. Seems we saw the same thing. It certainly looked like an aircraft initially, but it may not have been one.
We can confirm this. It was looking really strange with a long light in the tail.
Yeah, big bright light on the front and a greenish tail coming out the back.
Okay, Lufthansa 405, Speedbird 226. Thanks. We'll look into it. And Speedbird 226, did it go overhead, the traffic go overhead you, or was it below you?
It was overhead and off to the left, much the same as left here. I actually looked about opposite traffic 2,000 feet above. That's what it initially looked like. But then it did have a very strong trail to vapor trail, which looked more like smoke. And the light on the front was very, very bright. And as it went past us, it seemed to disappear once it was about 5 miles behind us.
Speedbird 226, roger. Were you level at 29 at that time?
Yeah, affirmative.
And Lufthansa 405, how far off your side did that pass, the traffic pass?
It was pretty close, and like the speedboat said, it was looked like 2 or 3,000 feet above on the left wing, just 1 mile, and on opposite track, and it didn't have any light, logo light, beacon light, or red or green light, only a white light in front, and with a long green light, looked like a UFO.
Looked like a UFO, but it did have a bright light and a green tail, much like most of the meteors and fireballs that have been seen all around the country lately. And there have been a lot of theories swirling around about Flight 370. A lot of the theories about perhaps cloaking or other devices that have erased it from radar. But after weighing all the mysteries between Flight 800, space debris odds, meteor strikes, I know that's highly improbable for some people, but it was proposed that a space rock the size of a thumbnail could enter the atmosphere at three times the speed of a bullet, and with that explosion, impact, pulverizing a commercial jet aircraft. It could even destroy the black boxes. It would happen so quickly there would be not enough time to radio to the towers to report the incident. Now understand that flight MH370 has a few peculiarities that are not being reported that need to be. The black boxes on the aircraft are not emitting a signal. Investigators are not able to find the boxes at all. An absence of signal means absence of black boxes. They're designed to withstand powerful explosions. However, could it withstand a pulverizing hit from space debris or even a near-Earth object that is white-hot and traveling thousands of miles per hour? I don't know. I don't know if they've even done that test. If anyone has seen the movie Gravity, as I said, then they know that these very small rocks are enough to riddle a space station like a house of matches. The black boxes have either vanished into thin air, are malfunctioning, or have been obliterated. Most airplane parts are buoyant and should be seen floating in the water. So far, nothing floating in the water. No buoyancy, no buoyant parts. Once again, points to a possible pulverizing of the aircraft. If Flight 370 was brought down by a terrorist explosion, there would be debris of the craft, there would be debris of the rocket, or debris of the missile, or whatever they use. So far, no debris floating on the ocean, not even seat cushions. The fact that debris has not yet been spotted only adds to the mystery of how Flight 370 seems to have vanished or was pulverized by something that no one expected. If a missile was fired at it, missiles also put off debris. And, of course, there's a lot of other debris. Also, the flash and the missile would produce large radar signals that can be tracked. There was no signal of an explosion, no signal of a large rocket being fired. So, the plane did not divert its flight plan. It did make a turn. I suppose it kind of changed course before it vanished. Here's a report.
4 days since Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 lost contact with the world, new hope that investigators might find the wreckage. The Malaysian military now says it has radar evidence showing the Boeing 777 changed its course slightly before disappearing and headed for the Malacca Strait between Malaysia and Indonesia, the opposite direction of its original course from Malaysia to China. Officials have expanded their search with the help of more than 40 planes and ships from at least 10 nations.
It's probably one of the largest search and rescue operations. But what was sombering for me is that the large and massive area that we need to cover.
Meanwhile, police have identified two suspicious men who boarded the plane using stolen passports. Interpol releasing the images of both men, 29-year-old Saeed Mohammed Reza Delavar of Iran, and the second, a 19-year-old who police say was traveling to Germany to be with his mother. Police say they boarded the plane together as part of a human smuggling ring.
The more information we get, the more we're inclined to conclude that it was not a terrorist incident.
Still with a terrorist link all but ruled out by authorities, the mystery as to why the jet left its course and didn't transmit any signals is unknown. A painful question for the family of the 239 passengers aboard that flight, many now waiting for answers. Robert Bumstead, Associated Press.
There you go, a report about the plane kind of veering off course just a bit, and then, of course, disappearing, completely disappearing. So I guess the question is, I mean, you look over, there are so many things that I have found histories. Even Pan Am 103 over Lockerbie, there was a guy named John Hall that said that he saw fireballs come down over Lincolnshire right there in the United Kingdom. He said that he saw what appeared to be UFOs flying in formation. He later realized it was not a UFO, but space debris, and worried that it would hit any airplanes in the area. And then you hear about the Lockerbie flight and how it came down. They blamed it on Libyan terrorists. So what do you think happened? 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Tonight on Ground Zero, we're discussing the situation with the Malaysia flight and whether or not it just disappeared, went into a time warp, aliens, I don't know. But I'm looking at the possibility with all of the space debris that we've been having, plus the phone call from Tyler two nights before the disappearance, I'm thinking that we're seeing the odds change from 1 in 10 million to less than that with planes coming in contact with a lot of fireballs. I mean, we've increased since the days of TWA Flight 800. We've increased our flights, more flights in the air, more chances for these flights to get hit by something that may be flying through perhaps space debris or near-Earth objects. What do you think? 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. We'll be back.
FM News 101 KXL.
Back to Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis on FM News 101.
Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis.
888-673-3700. We go now to Janet in Colorado. Listen on KRDO. Hi, Janet. You're on Ground Zero.
Oh, thanks for taking my call, because I have to tell you, Clyde, I totally agree with you. It wasn't a terrorist attack. It was a cosmic event, because we're living in the last days. You know, we're supposed to be looking up. All these things are happening for a reason. But here's the thing. That was kind of an ungodly hour that they were taking that flight. I know planes fly all the time, but 3 o'clock is the bewitching hour, you know?
Plus, they were flying over the Devil's Sea. They were flying over the the area known as the Dragon's Triangle.
I know about that. I know about that. And you're right. It could have been. It could have been vortexes. You know, anomalies, stuff that we don't know about coming out of the sea at that particular time. That was kind of a crazy hour. You know, I know planes take off all the time, but I think a lot more things happen at that bewitching hour.
Well, see, Janet, I was told back, like I said, back in the times, it was 1996, I was told that the chances of a plane getting hit by a meteor are 1 in 10 million. And that even though Flight 800 was being investigated as an act of God, NASA was there to investigate whether or not it was hit by a meteor because of reports of fireballs that were seen in the Atlantic a year prior. And some people said they saw something hit the plane. Now, they didn't, and at the time, they didn't think of terrorism, okay? They didn't even think of terrorism. They were thinking, meteor maybe. But that's a big probability, high probability, probability.
That's the first thing we think
of. And now it's the first thing we think of. Right. That's the first thing we think of now. And we forget that back in the 1990s, before terrorism even reared its ugly head, we were thinking of more natural means. We were thinking of, well, you know, something could have sparked the bomb going off. I mean, we did live in times of, somewhat. I mean, we had, problems with the Olympics. We had all kinds of things happening during that time. So, I mean, there was still always that threat of terrorism, but not something with TWA
we're
Flight 800.
We're living on the edge. We're living on the edge. And there's so many things happening that we don't even know about. And I think that big cosmic event, things are going to get a lot worse because it's written.
Well, Janet, here's something else to think about. While I was doing my investigation into TWA Flight 800, what plane went down after that in the same area? Swiss Air Flight 111, right? So what's 800 plus 111?
You tell me.
9/11. I just thought that was interesting.
Well, isn't that a coincidence? Maybe there was some coded messages
here. I don't know, but that's even creepier.
I don't really know, but, you know, my heart goes out to all those people. They had no idea that that was going to be, they'll never see tomorrow again in this life.
Yeah.
Well, and hopefully they didn't suffer. But, I just wanted to share that thought with you because that was the same thought I had.
Well, thank you.
It wasn't a terrorist attack.
No.
You're welcome.
I don't think it was a terrorist attack either, and I think that us rushing to terrorist attack just shows how we've changed.
And here's the thing. I think we're going to see a lot more of that. I think we're going to start seeing a lot more weird stuff because we're living in the last day.
Yeah, well, that's something to think about, too. Janet, I'm out of time, but I thank you for calling in tonight. Yeah, Janet's saying that it may be something cosmic, something out there making it happen. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. We've stepped into the Twilight Zone, literally, with this whole story of this Malaysian flight. 888-673-3700. We'll be back.
FM News 101 KXL.
Hello. You are about to experience Ground Zero, an off-speaker experience. The trap. Just when you thought you were safe.
loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"Wait, Jimmy."
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"Wait, Jimmy."
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"Wait, Jimmy."
Give up.
Give up.
Give up.
I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. I gotta admit, when I first heard about the disappearance of MH Flight 370, the Malaysian aircraft, two things came to mind. One was TWA Flight 800, because I was one of the first investigations I did that was very mysterious. It was most definitely a Ground Zero topic, because many people had ideas as to what brought down that aircraft. But the other thing that came to my mind, and of course a lot of people on my Facebook page reminded me, and they didn't have to remind me, because he, Tyler, a pilot from Illinois, was in my mind the minute I heard about this plane going down, because Tyler had called the program no more than two nights before the disappearance of this aircraft. He called the program, and he related a story about fireballs, things coming out of the sky, exploding in front of him in his cockpit. A commercial jet plane, a pilot, and this is what he had to say when he called the program. And now let's go to Tyler, calling in from Illinois tonight. Hi, Tyler, you're on Ground Zero.
Hey, Clyde, how are you doing tonight?
Doing great.
I was just calling in. I'm a commercial airline pilot. I've been flying commercially now with the airlines for about 4 years, and overall flying just about 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I've noticed, you know, over the last year that I've had two close calls with pretty substantial rock falling out of the sky, and people that have flown with that have been flying their entire lives. These things have never happened to them throughout their entire careers, and it's pretty odd to see this stuff happening on a more frequent basis.
You're right up there too. You'll be able to, they're coming in, and my gosh, how close would you say these fireballs have come to you in your time?
You know, up at the upper altitudes, it's kind of hard to judge the distance and stuff, but I'd say anywhere between 10, 15, 20 miles.
Wow.
It's enough late at night. You know, we fly with the cockpit pretty much completely blacked out so we can see the other airplanes out there. But we've gotten close enough to a couple of them that it literally lit up the entire cockpit to the point where it was almost as if you were flying through a thunderstorm and lightning struck.
Was there any concussion types of explosions or sonic booms or thunder from those?
From flying, you really can't tell. I mean, we're going through the air so fast that it's just pretty instantaneous. But mm-hmm. No turbulence or anything like that off of it. One of the ones that I have seen that was over the skies of Arizona, we were on top of a cloud layer that went through, and it actually, the rock itself lit up, illuminated the entire tops of the clouds. And my jet, as well as probably five or six other airliners, we all reported it to ATC. And never really heard anything back from the FAA on it.
What was the response? So the FAA did not respond to the huge fireballs that came close to the planes?
No, I actually made the first report to air traffic control, and they just started trying to triangulate where it was based on our position and other aircraft around that asked for it. And then they're all asking us if we could actually see any impact in the ground, but of course we couldn't with the overcast sky.
Right.
But other than that, there was no other follow-ups. The FAA never tried to make contact with any of us on that.
Do you feel helpless when you see those fireballs when you're in the plane?
What is that?
I said, do you feel helpless or a sense of helplessness when you see those fireballs when you're flying in the plane?
Oh, yeah, because there's absolutely no way that we'll know where they're at and when they're coming. And like I said, the times that it's both happened to me, I've made reports to air traffic control. I don't even see that stuff on the radar. It happened so fast.
Now, I remember there was a fireball. There was a fireball that was seen over Portland, Oregon, and it wasn't detected until 30,000 feet. So they didn't detect it, or they didn't. All they saw was the trail that it left. But at 30,000 feet, it just showed up out of nowhere and exploded. So they didn't know what it was.
Yeah, it's like said anymore. It seems like, and these are people I've flown with that have been doing this for their whole careers, and we've never seen this stuff. And just this last year, it seems to be more frequent.
Right. And they always
there's something bigger out there that might have been. We're getting the spare parts off of the main piece that's moving this way.
Yeah, that's what it feels like too. Tyler, thank you for your call, and thank you so much for your insight, being a pilot and letting us know that there is an increase of the fireball reports and that planes are now coming close to them, maybe 10 or 15 miles away. That's very frightening.
Yeah, have a good night.
You too. You bet. Man, imagine being a pilot with all those souls on board. You're flying to the destination, and then 15 miles in front of you, it's a huge explosion. It's a fireball. And you're afraid you may fly right into it. Or it may have been what happened to that Malaysian flight. Who knows? But there's a lot of information documented, other circumstances, other times. Like, for example, August of 2013, it was reported by aircraft pilots that an asteroid exploded over the Cayman Islands and that the falling space rocks came close to hitting aircraft. Later, it was reported that the debris reported did not belong to an asteroid, but to a spent Russian rocket. Pilots and witnesses in Honduras say that there was debris and fireballs raining down for 10 seconds, and it did pose a threat to aircraft. Now, when I was doing my investigation into TWA Flight 800, the NTSB told me that they were investigating it as an act of God and that NASA was there to try and figure out if it was hit by a meteor. Reason? Because many witnesses say they saw a green ball of light hit the aircraft, and they didn't think it had anything to do with terrorism or anything like that. Now, we've changed. We now see terrorism first, and we don't investigate probably natural means of how something very fast, moving about three times that of a bullet, could hit an aircraft and pulverize it going that fast. But when you take a look at Flight 800, I remember I was talking to the NTSB about this. They told me the chance of a direct hit by a meteor on an aircraft would be 1 in 10 million. Now I'm thinking there seems to be a looming possibility that the odds have changed a bit with the increasing fireball sightings, the fact that we've had two large ones pass by. We have one passing by tonight. Fireballs seen all over the place. And the fact that these things that move over us increase fireball sightings, sweeper effects, and space debris that may re-enter from the detritosphere. Plus, we need to also take into account the increase in planes in the air because of the proliferation of more planes, commercial air travel, and cheaper air travel. The more we get into the air, the more planes are there to hit. And if you take a look at a space map, and we can track space debris, especially with the space stations above us, and the shuttle also needed to be extra aware of pieces of metal the size of a small screw. Moving through space, it could literally cut the shuttle up like paper mache. Estimates are that there are 19,000 pieces of debris larger than 2 inches that orbit the Earth, as well as 300,000 pieces smaller than 0.4 inches, including dust from rocket motors, surface degradation products such as paint flakes, and even coolant released by nuclear-powered satellites. The impacts of these particles are similar to sandblasting. So if any of these things were to come down moving as fast there, they could literally pulverize and sandblast something. I mean, look, spacecraft aside, planes are mostly aluminum and plastic. And imagine what would happen if that kind of debris, especially if it was hot. In fact, I was reading the other day, something as big as 300 grams. Something that's not big, it's small. Something the size of 300 grams, if it goes fast enough and it's hot enough, could hit the aircraft, literally pulverize the craft, cushions, everything, all at once, bang. And there wouldn't even have to be an explosion. It would just go up in one big dust, boom, it's gone because it's been hit so hard. Because when you're looking at debris, it does incinerate in the atmosphere. Large objects can reach the ground as much as 300 pounds. The original Skylab station entered the Earth's atmosphere in 79, trailing debris across the Indian Ocean in southern Australia. A Navstar rocket crashed in Saudi Arabia in 2001, and there was a catastrophic orbital decay, which grounded aircraft. And when the space shuttle in 2003, Columbia, when it exploded, it also left behind debris across a swath of the southern United States. It ended in Florida. Now, this is the this is what the U.S. Federal Aviation, the FAA, and other groups, they did a study after the shuttle accident. They determined that the probability of an impact between Columbia debris and commercial aircraft in the vicinity was at least 1 in 1,000. And the chance of an impact with a general aviation aircraft was at least 1 in 100. So if it is well known that there are either space debris or other anomalies such as space rocks, then I guess the odds go more and more to the idea that it could have been hit by something like this. Because we did have the reports of these things going down. We had another report of fireballs over China, over several areas, Vietnam, and we had an exploding fireball once again over Russia a few nights ago. And the moon was hit with an 800-pound rock, and it exploded. In March of 2007, the pilot of a LAN Chile flight to New Zealand carrying 270 passengers notified Auckland air traffic controllers after seeing flaming wreckage, from a Russian satellite 5 miles from his plane. He reported hearing the sonic boom as it passed. The plane barely held together after the boom hit. So it looks like, you know, the sightings of fireballs, space debris, UFOs, all that, you know, it's all becoming very common now. So I don't know what the chances are now of being hit by a fireball when you're in an airplane. I know that they divert traffic from volcanoes. Why? Because rocks and debris, razor-sharp debris coming out of volcanoes could literally rip a plane in two with no explosions. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. We'll be back.
FM News 101 KXL.
Hey, it's Clyde Lewis. Do you suffer from digital clutter? Are you as productive or as organized as you want to be? How'd you like the ability to search for any important document at any time with a simple keyword search? That'd be neat, right? And it is. It's neat. See, neat is the digital filing system that gathers and organizes your key information so you can quickly and easily create expense reports or search any document by keyword. And you can access your files from anywhere. That's because Neat scans your documents, provides cloud storage, and gives you access to your files and documents from any computer or mobile device. All this makes Neat the perfect prescription for organizing your digital information. Give Neat a try free for 30 days and save up to $80. Call toll-free 1-844-NEAT-NOW. That's 1-844-NEAT-NOW. Neat. Scanning reinvented. 844-NEAT-NOW.
KXL. Suspending reality nightly.
Everyone is in on the secrets, and big things are being planned. Call Clyde Lewis now. Ground Zero.
One of the things about the Malaysian flight that reminds me of TWA-800 is the mystery on how it came down. Anything from fireball reports, UFO reports, to possible electromagnetic ripping open of the space-time continuum. Of course, they were doing experiments at Brookhaven there, right near Montauk. And, of course, Montauk is the area where they did the Philadelphia experiment, where they did cloaking devices to render battleships pretty much invisible on radar. And these are some of the theories I'm hearing about. And of course, we've got the Dragon's Triangle, which is in that general area. And we have, it's also called the Devil's Sea near the Black Sea, near the China Sea. So there you have it. Some very interesting things to think about when it comes to this plane. And as I was investigating TWA Flight 800, I wanted to get some documentation that maybe there were fireballs or UFOs or those things seen in the area. And I happened to stumble upon something that happened in 1995, where two aircraft that were on the East Coast were discussing seeing a fireball or a UFO. Here is that recording of those two pilots talking.
We just passed traffic left wing. Roger. 3,000 feet of FS. What's the low traffic orbit?
This was time to 405.
That's all, 405. We had altitude traffic on the left wing. Can you confirm this?
This was time to 405. Negative. I show no traffic in your area within 20 or 30 miles.
It should be on our tail about 10 minutes. We passed it just 1 minute ago, and it was looking straight.
All right, Steeper 226 confirms that, just above us on our left-hand side about 3 minutes ago.
And what altitude does it appear to be at Lufthansa 405?
It was only 2 or 3,000 feet above us. We are now passing channel 260, perhaps 27 or 290.
Lufthansa 405, roger.
Steeper 226, we confirm that. We had something go past us about 1 to 2,000 feet above on the left-hand side. It looked like a green trail on it with a very bright light at the front of it. We assumed it was an opposite traffic.
Steeper 226, roger that.
The Steeper is now ahead of us or behind us, or where is it?
Lufthansa 405, the Steeper is in your 12 o'clock in about 30 miles, 40 miles. And the heading of the traffic, was it the same direction or opposite direction?
Exactly opposite, Lufthansa 405.
Roger, did it pass off your right side?
Left side.
Roger.
Yeah, and the Steeper 226 can come there. It seems we saw the same thing. It certainly looked like an aircraft initially, but it may not have been one.
We can confirm this. It was looking really strange with a long light in the tail.
Yeah, big bright light on the front and a greenish tail coming out the back.
Okay, Lufthansa 405, Speedbird 226. Thanks. We'll look into it. And Speedbird 226, did it go overhead, the traffic go overhead you, or was it below you?
It was overhead and off to the left, much the same as it was there. I actually looked about opposite traffic 2,000 feet above, that's what it initially looked like. But then it did have a very strong trail to vapor trail, which looked more like smoke. And the light on the front was very, very bright. And as it went past us, it seemed to disappear once it was about 5 miles behind us.
Speedbird 226, roger. Were you level at 29 at that time?
Yeah, affirmative.
And Lufthansa 405, how far off your side did that pass, the traffic pass?
It was pretty close, and like the speedbird said, it was looked like 2 or 3,000 feet above on the left wing, just 1 mile, and on opposite track, and it didn't have any lights, over light, beacon light, or red or green light, only a white light in front, and with a long green light, looked like a UFO.
So there you have it. That's a flight, two pilots, one a Lufthansa pilot, and the other one is from England, discussing some traffic that was a bright green light with a tail that was seen some 10 miles away from these two aircraft. And once again, that backs up Tyler's statements that, you know, these things do happen. They're rare. And that's the thing is that I would think that... I would think that this would be compelling enough to reinvestigate the possibility, especially with so many planes in the sky and the fact that we've been passing through all of these sweeper effects and all of these with all these situations. So I don't know. I'm going to go to the phones after the break and we're going to talk about what some of you think. I was just saying that with all the statistics that are there, in fact, there was something I found that was kind of interesting about the idea of fireballs and the idea of possible NEOs creating some sort of turmoil. A guy by the name of Bernard Lovell, his name was Sir Bernard Lovell. He was an English radio astronomer and physicist. He commented before he died in 2012, and this is about the time that we started seeing the increase of these fireballs. He said that the increase of the fireballs in space debris, he felt would be responsible for World War III. Because, well... And I can only conclude that what he meant was that if there was any air disaster where something was to occur and a plane inexplicably was blown from the air or disappeared, the first thought would be that it was hit by an aggressive enemy or a terrorist triggering an act of war. The only thing is, there's always the idea, people are saying, well, you can't rule out terrorism. Well, then if there is a terrorist plot to bring down this Malaysian aircraft, I would suggest that the media tell me what the motive is. And why is it no one is taking responsibility? Okay? If you can give me the reason why they would do this to an aircraft like this, just to send a message, that's not enough. There's a reason behind terrorist acts, and terrorist acts are done to change the way governments do their business. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. The way we are quick to find terrorists behind anything makes it more probable that the end conclusion could be a devastating one for the world. And that is that, you know, we want to force it. And I believe that we need to look beyond that. 888-673, I mean, even as far as to say that maybe one of the pilots was crazy enough, just basically take the controls and slam the plane into the ocean. Suicide. That's a simple thing, too. 888-673-3700. We'll be back.
More with Clyde Lewis and Ground Zero on FM News 101.
Well, we were awoken in the early hours by the sound of explosions. The night sky was lit up in the east. You can see from this night vision footage that there seems to be what looked like several missiles heading across the sky.
This object was special because it was probably going to impact the Earth. And over the course of the next 21 hours, 500 observations were made of the object to try to exactly calculate its orbit.
More likely to win the lottery than get hit by the debris coming from the Gochi satellite. It weighs about 2,000 pounds, and they reckon the chunks that don't get burned up are going to be 200 to 300 pounds in size, Harris, and anywhere between 10 and 40% of this satellite might be falling to the Earth. Now,
I had a couple of guys that reported lights just went all overhead. I had no traffic whatsoever in the area. They said it passed within a mile of them, like 2,000 feet above them, opposite direction.
Oh, you need or something. We don't have any aircraft
out there. The Wanderer, the Mammoth Default Mall and Canal, that's all goes on this hole. Fire, 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 fire,
welcome back. We continue to follow breaking news out of the Far East. A Boeing 777 is missing. They lost contact. Malaysian Airlines flight MH370 with 239 people on board vanished from radio and radar contact about 2 hours into its flight from Kuala Lumpur to Beijing. We do not know what has happened to this airline. Search and rescue
operation. I'm Clyde Lewis, and you are listening to Ground Zero. Numbers to call tonight, 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. I'm looking at a World News Guardian update on the flight, the Malaysian flight. It says here that they are now, except for the United States, ruling out terrorism because they were looking at these Iranian men who, one of them had a stolen passport, said that he was looking for asylum in Germany and that he was not hooked to any terrorist organization. And so they're now looking at the possibility of checking the psychological backgrounds of all the crew members. I think they're leaning towards the idea of suicide by one of the pilots. I mean, that would be interesting. But in the meantime, they are beginning to rule out the idea that there were terrorists on board. But see, that's the thing. Where is the motive? There doesn't seem to be a motive, really. And of course, you know, in America, it just goes to show you that we're not going to rule out terrorism because we certainly want to find a reason to go in there and show somebody that we mean business. No terror. It's just sick. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. We'll go to Larry in Texas, KLBJ. You're on Ground Zero.
Hello, Clyde. It's a pleasure speaking with you and an honor.
Thank you.
I wanted to talk about the flight and how no one's brought up the idea of what the CIA did many years ago about the plane that they tried to send from Cuba that, you know, disappeared. This could be the same situation. Somebody wanted an airplane, and they wanted to use it for some sort of weapon. And
that was brought up earlier. They've dismissed that. They've dismissed that possibility. I mean, they're thinking could be sitting in a hangar somewhere in Vietnam. But yeah, they're saying that what they're doing is they're kind of ruling that out at the moment. But I don't think that that, I mean, it could be that, but I don't know.
The more the idea how it made that J hook, where it went in one place, it transponded, and then it traveled. I can't remember how many miles it traveled and then stopped. Gives me the impression that someone knew what they were doing. I used to fly planes, and I could tell you, someone knew about the transponder, and those giant the 777 has more backups on board than what people are like talking about and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Many things would have happened.
Well, here's the deal, Larry. Larry, here's the deal. Okay, if the plane went off radar, which it disappeared, then satellites would have to be looking for the thing. They couldn't find it. And now we're hearing about these cell phones that they dial and say that they still ring, but nobody picks up. We could GPS those phones. So why don't we GPS them then if they're calling the phones and they're not there? It's because of the fact that, you know, those telephones, like any other phone. I mean, I've dropped my phone on the toilet before, and people have tried to call me, and they say, why don't you answer your phone? I said, because I broke my phone. You know, they could be sitting at the bottom of the ocean. What's that?
Well, the difference is, many people don't know this. When the phone goes into water, it actually disconnects, and it'll send it straight to voicemail.
But I know.
Dialing.
That's what I'm saying.
Then the plane is somewhere, and that's why I lend the idea after my experience with different organizations. I believe that there's something more to this than the plane is in the water. The airplanes have different beacons that get deployed whenever they get wet. That none of those have transponded. The idea that that someone's looking for them by satellite. I believe more that Obamacare would work than someone saying that, because I just don't believe that someone's actually doing that.
There's no explosion signature found by the Pentagon. There was no explosion signature or anything. There was no, I mean, the plane veered off course temporarily and went poof, it was gone. And,
right. And I mean, you're talking about the Philadelphia experiment, and that's a very interesting idea, but
idea that was brought. I was on Godlike Productions Raw Feed tonight, and they brought that up tonight, and I thought it was an interesting concept.
I do too.
I think it's a very interesting concept. I also think it's an interesting concept. They were flying over the Dragon's Triangle. They were flying over the Devil's Sea, which is another interesting piece.
The Devil's Triangle is all in its own realm and how everybody view it. But I really feel like flying that plane at low level and then going to a particular place for it to land, and, you know, using it for whatever. I mean, many years from now, something may come up.
Okay.
Or maybe that plane's being used for a delivery device. Or,
so you don't buy into my theory that it could be asteroids or rocks hitting the plane, basically polarizing it.
No. We can only see an infinitesimal amount of space, and that totally could be the case. I've seen some very interesting things in the military, and a couple of weeks ago you were talking about the jet streams and the weather patterns. So I totally believe that an asteroid could totally be there. And you were just talking about the other day how we have an asteroid that's passing within 8 lunar distances. Anything could happen, and we're in the season for something of that nature.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if it had hit that plane, it would have to wipe the whole plane out.
Well, that's the thing, is that I was reading the FAA, and I was reading also some science journals. They were saying that something the size of 300 grams, I don't even know what that would look like. 300, probably what, the size of a pill, okay? A pill that you take for pain. Something that size, hurtling 3 times the speed of a bullet, would hit an aircraft and would pulverize it into dust. Dust. That means no traces. That means everything that falls down would be nothing but dust and pink mist. That's it.
And that I believe, you know, it's, there's all kinds of theories out there, but the reason for that, the J-hook is the question.
Yeah, well, we'll have to look into that.
Why did the plane deviate course?
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly, you know, there would have had to have been a reason for it to deviate course. So going back
maybe
to that theory.
Maybe it was trying to avoid hitting something, and it got hit anyway.
It could have gotten hit and flew on, but the pilots would have, you know, sent a distress signal.
Right. They had no time to.
There's all these different things. So, yeah, no time to. So the J-hook is the question.
Okay. Larry, I appreciate the call. Thank you, buddy. Thank you for that. Take care. Let's go now to Mike in Ohio. You're on Ground Zero.
Well, I'm glad you're visiting this tonight. You know, I've been on this since probably Saturday morning now. I have two views of this, but the first one is your view. We had two asteroids come flying by. One of those asteroids is broke into several pieces, so there were several pieces of an asteroid coming by.
Mm-hmm.
How many grams did you mention? An object, 300 grams?
300 grams,
that's That's about 2 pounds. But let's say we've got an object coming in, a bolide coming in the size of a basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Or the size of a Honda engine, a four-cylinder engine. That's about 300 pounds coming in. That could be some sort of debris that's been drug in after this asteroid was pulverized in space. It comes in with a velocity of about 30,000 miles. Space shuttle is about 17,000 miles. It's coming straight in. The energy that's going to displace, if you were within probably a mile of that, the energy that would displace would be tremendous, let alone a straight-on hit. Something like that.
So that thing had a sonic boom. That thing had a sonic boom. It would put a concussion wave at that plane. It would knock it off and blow it right off its course, and the plane would disintegrate into rubble, small pieces
of
rubble.
35,000 feet, you know, there was a 15-degree adjustment in its in that plane's flight path. It was 15 degrees. It went from 40 to 25, and so you're in the cockpit. You can see this thing coming. Just for a second, you see that thing light up. So in a minute and a half, there's a 15-degree adjustment in that flight path. And then that's it. That's all you see. You can look at the flight data. It's posted. That was my thought for that. But tonight, I recalled something, and I'm going to throw this one at you. And I can only throw it at you. I can't give you any more details. But do you recall back around September, October, November, we had a couple Boeing aircraft land at the wrong airports?
Mm-hmm.
Do you recall that?
I recall that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, these pilots, then they were coming up with these pilots were screwing around. Pilots don't screw around in those cockpits. It's business. Now, you know that. I know that. These people are professionals. They're not going to miss that airport. Plus, these things are programmed in the cockpits of today. Now, I've been doing some looking around. What if those two incidents were somebody probing and tinkering around with that software from elsewhere, say a foreign government, what have you, to see what they can do to these aircraft while they're in flight, if they can get them to veer off and miss their destination by 8-10 miles. Now, to know something about that quietly is one hell of a security problem if in the event that there is some future thing, say a war, you had that ability to do that. What if we had the same thing go on with this plane here? Because from what I'm reading, that those Boeing systems are hackable.
Could have been hacked and could have been confused. Could have been a GPS confusion. Could have been a number of things. I just know that you know, something, they veered away from something, whether they veered away from some sort of a sonic boom or something that could have pulverized or crushed the plane to where nothing was noticed.
My first inclination is that. But I'm just throwing the second one out there because I found the two Boeing incidents late last year peculiar.
Yeah.
Once, yes. Twice,
gets a little weird, doesn't it? Mike, thank you so much for your insight. I appreciate you calling in tonight.
Good night.
Take care. Bye-bye. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Tonight we're talking about the Malaysian craft. Where did it go? It just disappeared. Fell off radar. Not to be seen again. A lot of strange theories out there, but there are some where they're actually thinking that maybe it had something to do with either opening up a time rift, aliens are always a possibility, But I tend to lean towards the idea we have been in the midst of fireballs and asteroids coming close to the planet. What are the chances? Well, back during Flight 800, it was 1 in 10 million. I wonder if the odds have changed now. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. More to come. Keep it here on Ground Zero.
FM News 101 KXL.
Traffic reports on the sevens. Zombie reports as needed with Clyde Lewis. FM News 101 KXL.
Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis.
888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Let's go to Rock in Washington. You're on Ground Zero.
Hi, Clyde. Thanks for taking my call. Long time no talk. I was thinking, what if we're looking the wrong way? What if we shouldn't be looking at, under the ocean? What if we should be looking at space, you know, where the flight originated from? Maybe they were testing out, like, some kind of device, like an electromagnetic pulse device, and instead of doing the electromagnetic pulse, it created an electromagnetic field, which reacted with the one with the Earth, and it actually sucked it up and threw it out of our atmosphere.
Well, that's the thing, is that it's the question of whether or not they were using something that powerful and the plane just basically blipped out of sight. There have been a few people who have been discussing the possibility of some exotic weapon that they may have that we know nothing about. That of course, is a remarkable theory. I don't know if I can find anything that would research this. Is that, do we have a relay? The only close relay that I could think of that would create that much energy would be in Australia.
Right. Well, like the other guy said, he said they have plenty of backup systems in there. So, I mean, they could just reroute, you know, two of those backup systems in order to, fire off the device. And maybe it just reacted different than they thought. And that's what they were trying to do. And that's why they dropped so rapidly. They were trying to get away from the field, and it actually just kind of sucked them right out, threw them out. And it happened almost instantaneously. That's why they didn't get anything out, because they were in a field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the radio waves were bouncing back, everything. It's just a theory I was thinking about.
Well, that's a pretty interesting theory, Rock. I appreciate you calling in tonight.
You have a good evening. Thank you.
Take care. Let's go to Jack in California, KOGO. You're on Ground Zero.
Well, boy, it sure took the Ukraine out of the news. That's on the back burner now.
That's true.
Well, so, listen, one of the things that I find interesting is why did the Malaysian military wait 4 days to deliver the news that the plane changed course? They've been searching in the wrong place. A lot of wasted time there. So from the reports that I've heard today is that what the military in Malaysia is saying is that at the point that the transponder went off is where the plane made the turn. Now, the civilian radar lost track of the plane at that point where the transponder was turned off, but the military radar is more extensive. They tracked that plane continuing at low altitude for over an additional hour and another 300 miles. It doubled back and went back over Malaysia.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's just a strong possibility that this plane was safely landed. And let me remind everybody that on December the 4th, 2011, there was a stealth drone surveilling Iran. Iran hacked into the computer system and safely landed that drone.
Wasn't I reading something, Jack, that said that the 777 computers can easily be overrun? That they had been warned that they could be hacked and that they could be overrun? I have to look back at that because I glanced at that today as I was doing my research. And I think there may be something there. Maybe it was hacked and then it was rerouted, and it has safely landed somewhere and they're holding the people hostage.
Well, you know, I've looked at a lot of coverage on this story the last couple of days on TV, and all the experts and pundits, nobody has gone down that road. And I think it's time we have a discussion is just how safe are these computer systems on a passenger jet?
That's a good thing to ask, and that would take us all the way back to 9/11, whether or not the computers were hacked and they could... Actually, the terrorists were basically duped into believing they were doing some sort of drill, and that they flew those planes directly into those buildings with the remote control, just like in the television show The Lone Gunman. Remember that?
Well, I think the question that we want to ask now is that if hypothetically somebody's got a passenger jet What are they going to do with it next? And I do think that if you want to deliver a weapon of mass destruction to a target, the easiest way to get it there is by a passenger jet.
That's a great one, because they wouldn't fire on it. But they would know that plane, though, Jack. That's the thing. They would know, if it was, unless they repainted it, put a big smiley face on it, and a bomb on the end of it. Who knows? 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. What do you think happened to that Malaysian plane? I say it may have been hit by little space rocks, but you could think of something different, I'm sure. We'll be back. Keep it here on Ground Zero.
FM News 101 KXL.
Do you suffer from digital clutter? Are you as productive or as organized as you want to be? How'd you like the ability to search for any important document at any time with a simple keyword search? That'd be neat, right? And it is. It's neat. See, neat is the digital filing system that gathers and organizes your key information so you can quickly and easily create expense reports or search any document by keyword. And you can access your files from anywhere. That's because Neat scans your documents, provides cloud storage, and gives you access to your files and documents from any computer or mobile device. All this makes Neat the perfect prescription for organizing your digital information. Give Neat a try free for 30 days and save up to $80. Call toll-free 1-844-NEAT now. That's 1-844-NEATNOW. Neat. Scanning reinvented. 844-NEAT now.
Some of the scenes you will witness may appear to border on fantasy.
Stand by. You have 5 seconds. Five.
Information is free.
Four.
Three.
There
two.
Is.
Hope.
One.
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"We shoot him."
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"We shoot
him." The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"We shoot him."
Give up.
I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. Now, you've heard my theory about the meteors and the possible rocks hitting the plane or whatever, and that's neither here nor there. It's speculation, and I admit to it being speculation, so I don't want people saying, "Aha, you're wrong." I don't want that, because the thing is, it's a theory anyway, and theories are easily changed. But see, what I want to do, though, is I want to entertain some others, and that's why I want to hear your calls. But here's something. I just stumbled on two things. I mean, it's good to talk about, you know, theories, right? So this is from Epoch Times, which is a newspaper that I love reading. 20 employees of Austin-based technology company Freescale Semiconductor were on board the missing Malaysia Airlines flight MH370 that was en route to Beijing. The employees were en route to a business meeting in China. A spokeswoman for the tech firm said the employees, 12 from Malaysia and 8 from China, work in facilities in their respective countries that manufacture semiconductor chips, said Freescale. It says here, quote from GC Zuniga here. She says, "We have several manufacturing sites in Kuala Lumpur and Tianjin, China. Those 20 employees were with those teams," she said. "The employees were aboard flight MH370. Lost contact with ground controllers somewhere between Malaysia and Vietnam after leaving Kuala Lumpur early Saturday morning for Beijing. The plane was carrying 239 people. Freescale Semiconductor, they've been developing microprocessors and sensors and other technology, and they've been doing this now for about 50 years. The technology that they're working on, basically, they're working on embedded processors, which according to the firm are standalone semiconductors that perform dedicated computing functions in electronic systems. Now, the fact that the employees were on board has sparked a lot of theory that these guys were actually working on electronic warfare. And one of those electronic warfare ideas was to create a way to electronically erase the plane from radar. And so they decided that they would bring the electronic gear on board, erase the airplane, and then landed somewhere, and that the people are alive and they're basically confused because the plane has literally been wiped off radar and missing. The theory purports that the weaponry enabled some of the people on board, the Freescale employees and the people who boarded the plane with fake passports, to jam radar and other electronic observation, making the plane essentially invisible except to eyewitnesses. It also alludes there's U.S. intelligence assessment on the capabilities of Israel with regards to an attack on Iran. Any attack would include jamming the electric grid, internet, and cell phone network using devices such as one that mimics a maintenance cell phone signal that commands the cell network to sleep. Okay. Now. That's an interesting idea, an interesting theory. I have another one, too, and this is one I cannot divulge a source that's not been vetted or has it been confirmed. But apparently a source that has a reliable source that I know says that a journalist in Thailand now has two military contacts in North Korea that have been passing information to others that a missile lost after being fired during war games, test firing range from a nearby ship, accidentally hit the plane. The nature of the accident, the investigation is going inside North Korea as we speak. Authorities from Japan and Korean authorities, not sure why this is, let's see, it says here, another report said the aircraft was way off course, turned and dropped from its assigned altitude and track, and posed a threat because radar tracking said it left its flight plan and posed a threat to their maneuvers being held near the area. You know, that reminds me of Flight 007. Remember that? That flew off course. It was out of course, and it was just blown away. It was shot down. It was a Korean flight, actually, shot down. And there was another flight, too, that was a plane that was fired on, a commercial plane, because it flew off course, and they thought that it was going to hit an American ship. This says here, a source inside Korea just told source from media in Thailand that the missile was fired by an American destroyer monitoring Korea's activities. None of this is confirmed, only that it's hearsay being brought about by the Thai and Chinese governments that we fired on the Malaysian plane. So it gets interesting, doesn't it? 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Let's go to Jade in Alaska. Jade, hi, you're on Ground Zero.
Thank you for taking my call.
You bet. Go ahead.
The one thing I was thinking about is... not long ago, China went and remember that aircraft carrier that they released out in the ocean and they showed everybody on CNN channel TV? And then it's been out there floating around for a while. And then China's getting a little touch of a haunty spirit since the new kids on the block. And I was just wondering, do they have like one of those pulse beams to where if they would have hit it with that, it would cancel out the, you know, everything, heads-up display and, you know, cell phones and everything?
Yeah, electronic warfare, like I was saying earlier with the Freescale people. I don't know how much of that is true, but it's interesting. I'm just seeing the CIA is not ruling out terrorism. They're ruling it out elsewhere. Why does the CIA think it's terrorism? It's not terrorism. Something is going on, and we're blinding ourselves with the whole idea of terrorism when it could have been something else.
Did you notice how quickly, it's like that time where they had all those guys, 9/11, their pictures up really quick?
Yeah.
Isn't it interesting how they got all of a sudden these people that had intercepted passports that quick? Why didn't they identify them when they were there at the terminal?
Yeah, doesn't that make any sense? It's always after the fact. And these stories, I mean, and our media does not question the credibility of these stories. They bring on people who want to push the war hawk theories and the idea that it was terrorism. But what was the motive? Give us a motive for the terrorism. There is no motive. And if they are using it as a weapon, or they're gathering together to use it as a weapon, what will be the motive for that? And who are they going to use it on? That's the question. That's why I'm saying that, you know, I'm taking it a step by talking about the rocks and the meteors, because there is a chance it could have been hit by one, especially over an area like that. That's fine. But now, of course, we're talking about electronic warfare. We're talking about ways of erasing the plane, keeping it from sight, and also the possibility that one of our aircraft carriers fired on it because it veered off course and went into our war game territories. I don't know, but it's amazing what people are talking about.
Hey, Clyde, do you know that the Feast of Purim starts on the 15th and it goes to the 17th, and on the day of the 17th that a boss is going to be in Washington.
I didn't know that, but I know on the 15th, I don't know if it's Purim, I think it's Passover, they will be having, it will be happening during the time of an eclipse of the moon, so it'll be a blood red moon that night.
Yeah, yeah.
So there you
really
go.
Great times. Well, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Jade. You have a great night. Let's go to Chuck in Florida, WFLA. You're on Ground Zero. Hi, Chuck.
Oh, hi. Hi, Clyde. You're awesome.
Thanks.
You're right on it, as usual, asking all the good questions. Two things that came up while I was on hold that I wanted to comment on. The first thing is Freescale Semiconductor is the name that they reorganized the company to back some years ago. And before that, it was Motorola.
Mm-hmm.
So for people to know that Motorola was one of the pioneer companies that makes microprocessors for computers. And I have a relative that works there. My niece is a electrical engineer, and she works in that department of developing those ICs, those chips. And she's been to that integrated circuit factory over there in Kuala Lumpur. So I'm sure she's familiar with that group, mm-hmm. that team that was on that plane.
Any indication they were working on some sort of electronic gear to erase the plane from radar? This is one of the biggest experiments ever done to throw us off?
I don't know about that because I haven't heard anything about that. You're the first one that brought anything up about that. But, I mean, it's not outside the realm of possibility.
It would be amazing if that's the case. It would be the biggest magic act ever done, and I'm sure there'd be prosecutions going on as well.
And the second thing that I noticed while I was on hold is that something that weighs 300 grams, if you want to kind of get a picture in your mind of how much that is, a pound is about 454 grams.
Mm-hmm.
So this 300-gram thing would, you know, weigh roughly three-quarters of a pound.
Okay.
That's the other thing.
Well, fantastic.
What I really called to say, though, is that I think this whole works kind of smacks of false flag because I've been kind of noticing the timing of everything as it goes along. And first thing I noticed about the timing is that it comes just right on the heels of this whole thing with the Ukraine and Russia and Obama and Putin and all them hosers getting all worked up over this thing. And now all of a sudden, poof, it's gone. And now we've got Disappearing Plane Act.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice that?
Yeah, it's really creepy. It's creepy how this is all you know, coming together. But I just, you know, I would just love to find out the truth about what this is all about. So, you know, we can, because from the truth or from the official story, we can actually go in and we can actually pull it apart and see if any of it comes together. And I've already pulled apart the terrorism angle. I think our media needs to stop pushing the terrorism angle because we are the only media, American media, maybe Australian media, that's pushing the terrorism angle because we got terrorism on the mind. Other people are looking at other options right now.
They're going to just push that. But the thing, another thing I noticed about the timing, and you always talk about the timing of these, you know, so-called news events or whatever, but did you notice, for the first day or so, they just made out, the thing just poof, disappeared, no trace. And then after about the first 24 hours or so, then they start talking about, oh, yeah, well, we kind of noticed that maybe it veered off course or maybe there was a slight course change or this or that. And now they're saying, well, yeah, okay, the thing turned around and it's hundreds of miles from where they've been looking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so now, you know, days later, you know, they're doing the synchro story time thing of they're kind of it looks like they're arriving at the story that they're finally going to say is what really happened.
Oh, I know.
Who knows what actually happened?
Yeah, we won't find out for sure. We'll have the American spin, which is always good for a laugh. And it makes us work harder. And I'm hoping that we find out at least what their stand is. And still, it's a remarkable and mysterious story. And whatever.
Well, it's like Flight 800 all over again.
It is.
It's the same type of deal.
It is.
What really actually happened is going to get so covered up and so mired down in story changes that what's actually put out to the public is we're just going to be all confused.
Yeah, I know,
and
Chuck.
Have to dig for it ourselves.
I appreciate the call. Thank you so much for your call. And yes, of course, Freescale. It's amazing. I also heard that, weren't they once owned by Carlyle Group? Who knows? 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. We'll be back.
FM News 101 KXL.
You're listening to Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis on FM News 101.
This is not a test. It is the future. Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis.
Let's go now to Dave in Texas, KTSM. You're on Ground Zero.
Hi, Clyde. This is the first time I've listened to your show, but it's kind of piqued my interest and having a little bit of insomnia tonight. I've been listening to a lot of the comments being made. Just to let you know, I am an airline transport pilot, 27 years retired military, and currently flying as a government contractor. So I do have some experience in this realm. I will tell you that the airplane disappearing from radar like that, with a lot of confusion about the direction it went, it kind of indicates to me that the transponder on board the airplane was likely turned off. Now, when you turn the transponder off, you're still going to get a reflective hit, kind of like those basic radar facilities back during World War II. What the transponder does is allow you to get altitude information, heading information, airspeed information, that sort of thing. So it's much more easy to track the airplane. Without that transponder, you're just getting a reflective hit.
Right.
I would speculate that you've either got probably terrorists on board that either took that airplane in a direction out over the ocean, running out of gas, or crashed it somewhere, or quite possibly a pilot suicide scenario.
Well, I would say pilot suicide scenario, I don't even know why they're not ruling it. I rule out terrorism completely. I think that beyond my theory that here we are in a crapshoot where we may have space debris or something falling from the detritus that may hit an aircraft, and especially with Tyler's call that happened two nights prior, it's kind of coincidental that he brings up that while he was in the cockpit of his plane, because he's a commercial airline pilot, he says that he's had at least two experiences where he's seen fireballs actually light up the cockpit, and they're anywhere between 10 and 15 miles away from the craft. And he's saying that, you know, you're white-knuckling it because you're worried you may hit one. Well, and we've had these reports of all these fireballs. You know, I was always wondering. I never even thought about the possibility one may hit an aircraft. That's a speculation. But there's been many other reports that this could happen, and it hasn't happened yet because they said the odds were like 1 in 10 million. That doesn't mean there are no odds. That means that, you know, lightning can strike. It means people can win the lottery. It means that you just happen to be an unlucky passenger on a Malaysian flight that gets hit by an asteroid or a small rock from space. But then, of course,
if it was an asteroid, let's say it hit right there at 35,000 feet, you're still going to have a rather compact debris field if it was shot down by a missile.
Well, I read something in the FAA that said that the debris field would be very unlikely because of what you'd have is you'd have a dust field and possibly even a fuel field. But something going three times the velocity of a bullet. And it'd be small enough, something the size of like 300 grams or so, hitting a plane like that would just completely pulverize it. I mean, have you seen the movie Gravity?
Yeah, I have. Was there any indication that that there was anybody that saw an asteroid or a small...
No, but you got to understand that we've had two pass over within, you know, smaller than lunar distance away. Oh. They have been pushing things toward us either from other rocks in the detritosphere. We had reports of rocks all over the world coming down on Friday. Still fireballs are being spotted. We had one that passed over the Earth tonight that was the size of an 80-story building that may have been pushing with it rocks and other debris as well. Maybe, like I say, the snooker table idea. So, I mean, we've got some active skies. Now, we've got more planes in the sky than we had back in the time I was interviewing a member of the NTSB with regards to Flight 800, which they were investigating at the time, NASA was anyway, of some space debris that may have hit the craft. But, of course, then after time, it was a conspiracy theory and other theories thrown out there that it was terrorism. Now we're immediately going to terrorism. I think that it's time that we stop assuming terrorism all the time and start looking into other things. Like you said, a pilot suicide, perhaps somebody hacking the computers, perhaps somebody... Like these guys from Freescale that may be doing some electronic erasing of the aircraft, you know?
And the one thing he did mention, when I read that Boeing article about the 777, 200, 300ER or EER aircraft, and looking through that article, it would seem that there is a possibility if somebody gained access to the computer buses on board the airplane,
right?
It looks like there might be a possibility. Say you had some smart guys and...
Uh-huh.
perhaps even the two Iranian passengers got on board with some computer equipment, because what I did read in the article was that one of the guys that got on, who was Iranian, apparently he had a backpack and a laptop computer in there.
All the backgrounds on the Iranian passengers were immediately confirmed, and none of them were part of any terrorist organization.
Well, we don't know.
I do know. It's been released that those men were not part of any terrorist organization. One wanted to go to Germany to be with his mother.
Okay.
Yeah, that's been ruled out by several governments and several news organizations outside the United States. We're still stuck on a terrorism kick, and it's been ruled out. Yeah. I mean, everything else now has to be put into the picture.
The likelihood that Iraq hit it, I think, is much smaller than terrorism.
Of course it is, but I also rule out terrorism. And with the chances of more planes in the sky and rocks coming out of the sky, I would say that there is a chance. It's just about as much of a chance of winning the lottery and getting struck by lightning. And last time I checked, people win the lottery and they get struck by lightning. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. And in fact, more people get struck by lightning, more people win the lottery, than get killed by terrorists. We'll be back.
More with Clyde Lewis and Ground Zero on FM News 101.
Area 31, the traffic's not lower than us. 1 o'clock now, still above me and descending.
Area 31, can you say aircraft type?
Negative, sir. No distinct outline. To tell you the truth, the target is rather brilliant. It has the brightest any collision lights I think I've ever seen, alternating white to red. The colors are a little striking.
Center, this is TWA 517. Traffic now looks like extra bright landing lights. I thought Aries had his landing lights on.
Could be a satellite.
Aries 31, I have the primary target now in your 10 o'clock position, 5 miles here. The traffic is proceeding northeastbound, no altitude readout.
Roger, sir. There's a serious problem now. He's about 59 feet long. Wait a second. Stand by one. Okay, Senator. Area 31, the traffic has turned. He's heading right for my windshield. We're turning right immediately and leaving flight level 350 now.
Aries 31, descend and maintain flight level 310. Break. Allegheny 444, turn right 30 degrees.
Get on the heart of the 45th recon wing. See what the hell they could be testing up there.
An Aries jet descending to maintain.
This is Indianapolis Center. Do you have any test operations restricted area 2508?
Aries 31, Roger. Traffic is quite luminous and is exhibiting some non-ballistic motion. Over.
Roger, Aries 31. Continue to descend at your discretion. Over.
Okay, Center. Center pilot's discretion is approved. The traffic is approaching head-on, ultra bright, and really moving. And right by us, right now.
The forces of evil can never destroy the powers of the Wonder Man. And though the most formidable journey lies ahead, only one will prevail. Wonder. Wonder. Wonder Man.
A global jet airliner, now reported overdue and missing, and by now searched for on land, sea, and air by anguished human beings, fearful of what they'll find. But you and I know where she is. You and I know what's happened. So if some moment, any moment, you hear the sound of jet engines flying atop the overcast, engines that sound searching and lost, engines that sound desperate, shoot up a flare or do something, that would be Global 33 trying to get home from the Twilight Zone.
I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero. Just what happened to that plane? It just disappeared. Now we're getting all sorts of stories. They're kind of spinning it in the direction they want to spin it. All the media outside of the U.S. has ruled out terrorism. We can't rule it out. It's not good for ratings. Anyway, I was reading a story also that was kind of interesting. I don't know many people are aware that in 1978, there was a man by the name of Frederick Valentich who was piloting a Cessna. It was a Cessna 182L. He was piloting over the Bass Strait there in Australia. And what happened is he said what he wanted to do, his flight plan was that he wanted to land at King Island and then he wanted to go back to Moorabbin Airport. Well, that was about a 127-mile flight, and Valentich was talking with Melbourne Air Traffic Control. And he said that he was being accompanied by an aircraft about 1,000 feet above him. He described how the aircraft showing unusual action. He said that the aircraft didn't look anything like it was earthly. He said that it had strange features. He said the engine started sounding pretty bizarre. And then he reported the strange aircraft was hovering on top of his plane. He said then before his radio went dead, he goes, wait a minute, it's hovering. It's not an aircraft. It's something else. He disappeared from radar. And an Australian Department of Transportation investigation concluded that they don't know why his plane disappeared. Later, there were a number of UFO of people who reported a UFO sighting, large UFO sighting in Australia, on the night of his disappearance. And Ken Williams, a spokesman for the Department of Transportation, told the Associated Press that he felt the UFO reports were crazy. And yet they didn't find Valentich. They haven't found him at all. And so it was one of those stories of a UFO following a Cessna disappearing, never to be heard from again in Australia. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. We go to Tamby in Oregon. You're on Ground Zero.
Hi, Clyde. This is Tamby again. You signed my shoe, remember?
I remember, yes.
Okay. I'll be there again this year.
Good.
Anyway, this national news really stinks because every time and every channel I've seen it on, they've already have this plane down and in pieces under the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And who are they to judge when they haven't found anything to prove that yet? So they've doomed it already. But my theory is, and don't laugh, mm-hmm. there is a lot of jungle out there.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't a group of people form a crude but viable runway? And it would be quite a bumpy landing, but it could be done.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they, you know, keep the passengers alive, that would be great. But, you know, if it's the government, I don't think they would do that. And the thing, I just don't think they'd let him go if it was the government.
Well, there is some speculation the plane may have landed in the jungles and that's why it's lost, or it crashed in the jungles and that's why it's lost. I also have been getting reports that a fisherman that was in the area saw the plane come down, and he has an idea of where it is. There are a number of things now that are coming out in the media that we don't know if they are true or if they are false. And, of course, it'll be interesting to see just what happens.
Yeah, I hope we find out the truth and it's not a cover-up. But I have the radio on every night, and the minute I hear a jet story or news, wake right up and listen.
Well, now the question is, why did it change course? That's what they're asking on the media tonight. Why did it change course? We finally hear that it changed course. Before, we heard that it disappeared from radar only. Now we hear it changed course, then it disappeared from radar. So that's interesting. Yeah. Another twist to this. The J-hook is what they call it.
I sure hope it comes out good no matter what. You never know.
Yeah, it's nice to have hope for it. Tamby, thank you for your call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Cheryl in Texas, you're on Ground Zero.
Hey, Clyde. My theory is different than most everybody else's theory. And I'm going to say that, yes, there was a plane, because at first I thought, well, was there really a plane? Okay, so under the supposition that, yes, there was a plane, mm-hmm. what would have caused that plane to vaporize? Because no one saw or heard anything. It was at night. Something would have been seen or heard mm-hmm. had a meteor or anything hit that plane. So, and there's no parts, and there's no debris, there's no nothing. So it's like the plane never existed. My theory is that we witnessed a molecular event, and I will explain that in that we do have phaser bank weapons. We have transporters. However, transporters have only been, and this was reported in Discover magazine last year, transporters, our effectiveness at transporting things has always been with inanimate objects. They have not been able, the government has not been able to transport organic matter so far.
Mm-hmm.
So we can rule out transporters, I think, for that. But we do have phaser banks. We do have, what was I going to say? Darn it. Well, anyway, I think it was hit by a phaser bank is what I think happened. And there's nothing left because it was vaporized by a phaser bank. And there should be some type of molecular trail, a molecular trace, or some type of subatomic particle trace of that plane, mm-hmm. if it did exist, somewhere, and it should be, we should be able to tell. Now, my next idea is, okay, who was on board the plane? Now, down here, they're reporting that there were 21 IBM officials on that plane, not that other company that you mentioned. And that they were on their way to that semiconductor plant for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but what if we had another target on that plane, or if one of those officials were targets, and we decided, well, you know, we can't have this, so we're either going to test this phaser bank weapon that we have, or it went off accidentally, or it went off on purpose and destroyed the aircraft, and it just vaporized, nothing
mm-hmm.
from that. But still, there should be some type of molecular or subatomic particle trace of that aircraft somewhere, is what I'm saying. So almost everything that ever occurred on the show Star Trek, we already have. Do we have a tractor beam yet? I don't know. You know, but if we do, then that could explain the change of course. If indeed the change of course actually happened, that's something else we don't really know.
Mm-hmm.
So there's just too many things that we don't know, Clyde. But I'm kind of leaning, I wish, you know, somebody would look into the subatomic particle trace or a molecular particle trace in the
that would be an outrageous investigation, that's for sure, if that's what it was. But you know, stranger things have happened. A lot of people have a lot of ideas, so I don't know why they wouldn't do that. Maybe it's because they want to lean towards something more simple, and that is always what Occam's razor is, that the simplest explanation is always the true explanation. So but there is no real simple explanation, not with something that disappears like this.
Something that vaporizes, no.
And that's why if it, if it's anything, it could be a suicide. You know, somebody wanted to commit suicide, and they slammed the plane into the ocean, or they slammed the plane into the jungle and killed everybody on board. That's happened before.
Yeah, there still should be some kind of trace, though.
All right. Something. Cheryl, thank you for the call. Thank you so much.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Let's go to Frank in Ohio, WTAM. You're on Ground Zero.
Hi, Clyde. Great show tonight.
Thank you.
I had experience traveling over in the Far East Asia-Pacific area and flying from Kuala Lumpur to Beijing on that flight, but not at late at night like that. But I'm not sure if you're aware, in Kuala Lumpur, it is somewhat of a breeding ground for terrorism. Mohammed Atta and his friends got together there to plan 9/11. And the other thing is there's two giant towers there that are joined by a walkway that are over 1,000 feet tall, called the Petronas Towers. And Petronas is the Malaysian oil company of Malaysia. And there's a lot of rivalry between different Muslim nations, where the Iranians are hardcore and the Malaysians are laid back. They're more of a secular society where they live and let live with the Chinese and other people that live there. But I'm suspecting this has the same type of signature as the flight on 9/11 that circled Cleveland and headed back towards possibly the White House and got buried in Jenksville when the passengers took over the plane.
Or how about that plane that conveniently vaporized at the Pentagon?
It didn't vaporize. They got pictures of it coming in.
But it obliterated itself when it hit the Pentagon.
Well, yeah, if you come in at that speed, he had that thing
So if a plane coming in at that speed hit the Pentagon and vaporized, then what makes it so difficult to think that something could have hit it and vaporized it? Like a meteor, for that matter. Huh?
Well, it's possible. But the thing is, somebody turned off the transponder and knew what they were doing. And it's similar to Muhammad Atta and some of those folks where they took the flying lessons and they knew enough.
So you're saying that there would be a motive for Iranian terrorists because of that oil situation in Malaysia.
Yeah, to fly into the Petronas towers and make just like the Twin Towers, these would be a symbol of the power of Malaysia and Kuala Lumpur in their capital there, and it would set those people back years as far as their image. And there would be a violent confrontation between the secular Muslims and the Shiites, hardcore Iranian types that hate each other.
All right.
So it could be an extension of what happened also.
There's the motive I was looking for. Frank, thank you for the call. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Ask for a motive? We get a motive. I'll have to look into it. We'll be back.
FM News 101 KXL.
KXL After Dark. If you question it, you're doing it right.
This is not a test. It is the future. Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis.
Okay, I want to refresh your memory of something that was in the news cycle last year at this time. About this time last year, this was in the news.
A Defense Department saddled with billions in cost cutting is rolling the dice on a new weapon that could end up being cheaper and someday deadlier than current alternatives. National Security Correspondent Jennifer Griffin has the story tonight from the Pentagon.
For the first time, the Pentagon plans to deploy a weaponized laser on board a Navy ship. This new weapon is slated to be operational off the coast of Iran early next year. Video released by the U.S. Navy shows the laser lock onto a slow-moving target, in this case an unmanned drone. The drone soon catches fire and crashes into the sea below. It, quote, operates much like a blowtorch with an unlimited magazine, according to one Pentagon official.
For the first time, we're going to demonstrate that lasers can take out operational aircraft. Now, albeit they're slow drones, they're not fast movers.
The laser will be capable of obliterating these small boats and unmanned drones with a blast of infrared energy. It will be mounted to the fantail of the USS Ponce and sent out to the Fifth Fleet region in the Persian Gulf, where Iran operates small surveillance drones and is known for swarming and harassing U.S. Navy ships with small armored speedboats.
There you go. That was the news about a year ago this month, April. We're almost to April anyway. So there you go. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. We go now to Mary in Belleville, Texas. You're on Ground Zero.
Hi. I heard a lot of interesting points, but almost everyone has a cell phone. And there are people who can text at the speed of light. Mm-hmm. The fact that no one sent a message from that plane leads me to believe it'd be something instantaneous that happened.
Well, that's the truth. It was instantaneous. But now they're saying, and this is what I think is just weird. They turned this into a scary kind of phantomy, kind of ghostly thing. They're saying that relatives are now calling the cell phones of those who disappeared, those who may have died. And they say that their cell phones ring. No one answers. And I'm thinking, but you know what? I've dropped my cell phone in a toilet before. It hasn't worked for days. People try to call me and they can't call me, but they say the line rings and on the other end is, I'm Clyde Lewis. Please leave a message after the tone. And thank you. I love my voice. And I'll tell you, that doesn't mean anything. I mean, the phones could have been pulverized, but yet they're still ringing to some voice machine or some voicemail, and they're getting calls.
Right. When I lost my phone once, the person turned it off. And my phone went directly over to voicemail. So when your phone is off, I know my AT&T phone does this, it goes directly to voicemail, and my phone was turned off.
Step on your phone. It goes directly to voicemail. Run it over with a steamroller. It goes directly to voicemail. Blow it up with M80 firecrackers. It goes directly to voicemail. I don't know why this is a story, unless I'm missing something. But, yeah, it would go directly to voicemail. Of course it would ring. There are no phones. There's no one to answer the phones. They're either dead, obliterated, or they're hiding somewhere in a jungle, and they're eating coconuts with Ginger and Marianne. I swear, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Mary, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Take care. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. We'll be back with more. Keep it right here on Ground Zero.
FM News 101 KXL.
Hello. You are about to experience Ground Zero, an off-speaker experience. Cuts through the crowd. Just when you thought you were safe.
The loudspeaker spoke up and said, the loudspeaker spoke up and said, the loudspeaker spoke up and said,
I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. You know, it's funny that there are a few areas that I am right now looking over as far as reporting of this situation with the Malaysian plane. And the headlines are beginning to look like they belong on this program, and that these are from sources that don't normally delve into the idea of supernatural explanations. However, it says disappearance of the Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 begins to demand any and all supernatural explanations because of the fact that there are a lot of strange and different theories as to what happened. Now, the investigators are baffled. Fox News wants you to keep an open mind about terrorism. Why? So we can be afraid that the terrorists did something? Well, okay, they just want to keep an open. It's good for ratings. It's good for politics to say that it's terrorism. It's good for us to go marching in again to save the day when we couldn't do it in Ukraine. So I, you know, and of course there's the Washington Post that reported the eerie rumors about the relatives that said that they were able to call the cell phones of their loved ones to find them on a Chinese instant messenger service called QQ that basically shows that they're still there, that they're online. They haven't gone offline. But see, I think that, you know, for those of you that used to use ICQ, I used ICQ a lot. And I also have a chat room. I had a chat room that even after I would go offline, it would still show me online because I didn't log out or it remains logged in for some strange circumstance. So I'm sitting here thinking about these ghostly ideas of these phones that haven't been obliterated or destroyed or anything. I mean, I don't think this proves that they're being kept from their phones. I think it just proves that the phones have some mechanism that haven't knocked them offline yet. Relatives have said that when they dialed some passengers' numbers, they seemed to get ringing tones on their other side, even though the calls were not picked up. That would happen, I think. I've had that happen before. People say, I've been trying to call you all day. Aren't you going to answer your phone? Say my phone was stepped on by somebody during a football game. Oh, okay. So and why is it keeps going to your... It's because of the fact that that's what it does. It'll go right to my voicemail until it fills up, and then nobody can contact me. But see, there are a lot of different possibilities that I can explore now. I mean, I gave my opinion about the idea of the extraterrestrial, not necessarily aliens, but things coming from space hitting the plane, if that happened. But there is the kidnapped explanation where everybody or somebody thinks that this plane has landed somewhere without leaving a radar signature of any kind, and then the passengers are being held hostage. And so they're alive. That's why the phones are doing what they're doing, and that's why the mobile devices are within cell tower range. And yet these phones have not been confiscated. So that's the thing you need to think about. Since when are these phones in cell tower range? If they're, I don't think they are. So the whole phone story, I don't believe it. There's also this Stargate explanation that we heard a few people talk about. People say, oh, the phones are getting wilder and crazier as we get closer to midnight. Well, that's, of course, if there is any proof to the idea that there is a portal of some kind that exists in the skies, that or a what is known as a Rosenbridge that Einstein had talked about, or that maybe CERN has opened a hole in the space-time continuum or something, and that the people were teleported somewhere else. Yet, astonishingly, electromagnetic signals can still make it through the portal, right? They can still contact their loved ones through a portal. No, I don't think so. I mean, cell phone coverage, the other side of a portal, I don't think so. So, science fiction, check number two. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, come on. You get talking about quantum physics, and you start talking about entangled quantum theories and everything. Okay. But just for the sake of argument, closed number two. You've got this also possibility, the failed search explanation. This is very mundane, and it supposes that this whole search, this multi-day search for plane wreckage and debris, simply hasn't stumbled upon the correct location yet. And the fact that airplane black boxes broadcasting homing signals adds to the skepticism that this explanation holds any water, as it is extremely unlikely that the airplane's black boxes could have been obliterated. Nevertheless, it could have happened if the plane was hit by something that's about 300 grams. It would have obliterated everything. So then you have to jump into the supernatural if you don't believe that, and many people don't. And then, of course, we have advanced military weapons that Cheryl was talking about, and the idea of this company, semiconductor company, may be involved with creating advanced military electronic weaponry to erase the plane a la Philadelphia experiment. We're looking at some military entity, either human or non-human, testing advanced weapon capability of either instantly obliterating a large airborne object or teleporting them to another place or dimension. Now, I know that sounds crazy, but then again, barely 100 years ago, so did the idea of machines that could ever fly at all. And once again, we go back to the Philadelphia experiment, which some believe said that a U.S. Navy ship was made to vanish and appear at Montauk, which is a place where they did experiments like this near Brookhaven Labs, where they're doing ion collider experiments. So we can be skeptical about supernatural reasons, yet right now, the explanations, the disappearance, unquestionably defies all that we know of conventional explanations so far. And we have a pretty big ocean to cover. We've got stories like what happened to the Bermuda Triangle, but we have the Dragon's Triangle, or we have the black, what do they call it, the Devil's. It's the Devil's Sea is what they call it, the Devil's Sea or the Dragon's Triangle, where ships and aircraft vanish for no reason. It defies apparent scientific explanation. I mean, we can explain all this by things like underwater volcanoes, And if they somehow, or if we have what is known as a floor collapse in the water, it could send up gases that would mix with the ocean waters, and we'd see these gases bring down a craft of some kind. So as we look for this and we do these unknown stories, we have to put into a lot of perspective what is happening here. And there are a lot of theories that we can explore. And so that's why tonight we're asking what you think. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. We go to Brian in Tucson, Arizona. You're on Ground Zero.
Hi, Clyde. Did I get through?
Yeah, you're there.
And
go
first
ahead.
Of all, quick kudos to your call screener. He's great.
Great.
My theory kind of goes on a couple of things that I've heard or read over in the past. I remember a couple of years ago watching a show similar to Noble Scientific shows on like PBS, talking about wormholes and, you know, the energy it takes to create one, but they believe that they naturally occur microscopically sized, like in the waves and the whirlpools of waves hitting the beach. Taking that into account with disappearances, of human disappearances, somebody be walking, turn the corner, the friend a few feet behind him turns the corner, and the guy's just vanished. There's theories that they've gone through some sort of time portal or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if what that scientific show says is true, that wormholes can naturally occur, why couldn't one occur, you know, up in the atmosphere under the right conditions? If it's big enough to pull a plane through, gravitational field would pull the plane like a black hole, and that would cause the change in course that would be seen.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, well, Einstein had talked about the Rosen Bridge, which is much like what you're talking about. It's a wormhole.
Okay.
It's basically, it was hypothetical that he came up with, and it was basically a lot like something that would be a shortcut through space-time. A tunnel with two ends at each separate points in space-time. And so it would be part of quantum, as you say, quantum mechanics or quantum theory and quantum entanglement and all these things where he says there's spooky actions at a distance where we're seeing all kinds of crazy things happen that defy reason. And so this is one of those things.
Right, yeah. It's something like a Stargate where you just enter one point in it and exit out maybe another planet or, you know, somewhere else in space or time.
Yeah, it's pretty much shaped like a JoJo. I don't know if you remember those little toy JoJos that you'd have the string and you'd like, you know, you'd make them like a yo-yo, but they were different. And you'd like, I can't remember, I don't know of anybody that played with JoJo, but I played with them. I thought they were pretty fun. But that's what the Einstein-Rosen Bridge looks like. It looks like a JoJo. It has the two cups that are together, and it makes kind of like an hourglass because there is an area where you come out one end, you come out the other end. It's like a wormhole of non-zero spin, non-zero charge, and then they have the gravitation. It's like the idea of a black hole without sucking things in. It's a black hole that's right here that can be, I guess, it may show up every once in a great while and people go through them. I don't know.
Right, yeah. I mean, sometimes that makes a little more sense. Like, terrorists, okay, I'm not ruling that out, but if some of the terrorist group did it, would they claim responsibility by now?
Yes, they would have claimed responsibility, and quite frankly, terrorism is there to instill terror, and it's there to change methods of what governments do. And I don't see any government like changing anything with this. I don't see any. Right. I don't see anyone. I see families that are terrorized or otherwise saddened, but I don't see governments changing because of this. What's going on here? So, if it's a form of terrorism, it's a very, very poorly executed form of terrorism. Let's just put it that way.
Exactly. And the same thing, you know, if there's ransom or anything, something would have been said by now. You know, it's been, you know, approaching almost a week. But
if it's terrorism, it was a failed terrorism attack or a failed terrorist attack. So I rule it out because I don't know. I just rule it out. I know a lot of people want to see it happen, but you know, when I have Fox News telling me to keep an open mind with terrorism, I have to be a little skeptical. I'll close my mind immediately because they want me to think that, and I don't want to think it, and I refuse to think it unless something proves to me beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is the case. I know I'm being tough and bullheaded, but you know what? I'm just tired of hearing about terrorism. And I'm tired of hearing, I don't deny that there is terrorism. It happens all the time. It's even happened before 9/11. But I just think that we use that word too much to describe what goes on. I mean, you know, call it terrorism. It brings up all kinds of crazy ideas. If you just bring up criminality, criminality, what's that? Yeah, it's a, criminals kind of use things like terrorism. It's a tactic. 888-67, and you don't declare war on a tactic. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. We have a couple lines open. We want to get into the conversation. What do you think brought down that Malaysian jet? I'd like to hear your theories. 888-67. And even if you want to talk about terrorism, I need to hear the motive. One guy gave me a motive, and that was pretty interesting. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. We'll be back.
FM News 101 KXL.
More with Clyde Lewis and Ground Zero on FM News 101.
Everyone is in on the secrets, and big things are being planned. Call Clyde Lewis now. Ground Zero.
Let's go to Danny in Otis Orchards, Washington. You're on Ground Zero.
Hi, Clyde. I think you're right about the criminalism. Only the motive isn't terrorism. It's extortion. See, 500 miles, there's a couple of hours that people had to call those other people's phones. You know, those phones rang and then went to voicemail. If my phone's off, it does not ring. I don't hear it ringing on my phone.
No, you don't ring. You don't hear it ring. But you don't hear it ring, but it rings. I've called. Look,
no.
I should know. I called Janine. Look,
no, ring several times.
No, you can turn your phone off. Okay, and those calling you will get an internal ring. They will get an internal ring, and then voicemail will pick up
immediately.
But after three or four rings, That's not what's happening.
They turned. They went 500 miles.
That's not what is happening. That's not what's happening. That's not what is happening. Okay. What is happening is that the creepy part that they're talking about is that it rings and goes to a voicemail, but it also shows that the phones are still online with a special service they have that's on the internet. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, but the people are either unconscious or dead. So
no, what it is is that computers have not taken the phones offline. They were online at the time, and they have not recognized them being offline. It happens sometimes when you're on IRC chat. When you're other chats, they say that you're online. Or even on Facebook, it says that you're online when you're not online.
Oh, I see. So that's computer then. All right, well, still, the military tracked them for 500 miles, they said, before they went off the radar. Well, they went off the radar by simply flying under it. I know that we built and the Japanese built all kinds of airstrips in those jungles all along that area,
mm-hmm.
and all they would have had to do was surreptitiously clear one off, land the plane full of unconscious or probably dead, gassed passengers. There were four people, but I don't think they were terrorists. I think they were criminal, and I think that they're going to use that to extort that oil company, because then they either want control of it or they want money from it. But I don't think this is terrorist, because there's just not enough, you know, of that they're saying, you know.
Okay. All right.
Anyway, that's my theory.
Well, thank you so much for your theory. You bet. Take care. Bye-bye. 888-673-3700. Yeah, this whole phone thing I think is misleading. Because I think that what it is that, you know, eventually the phones will show that they're offline. And eventually, they won't be able to go to voicemail anymore. I'm wondering if they're leaving voice messages. I'm wondering if, you know, and they can fill up their voice boxes. They fill up their mailboxes until they say, you can no longer leave messages to this mailbox because this mailbox is full. I mean, I can call anyone I've called Janine before saying, why can't I get a hold of you? I just get to your voicemail all day long. She says, well, I've had my phone turned off. Or one day her phone was lost. I could still call it, nothing, didn't get anything, and it was turned off. The person who took it turned it off. I was still calling. They weren't answering the phone. But I still was getting messages to her. So I don't understand how this works. Maybe I'm missing something. If someone can explain to me how this is a story, how this is some phantom phone situation, I'd love to hear it. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. We'll be back with more. Keep it here on Ground Zero.
FM News 101 KXL.
More with Clyde Lewis and Ground Zero on FM News 101.
We may be witnesses to a biblical prophecy come true, and there shall be destruction and darkness come upon creation, and the beast shall reign over the earth.
A very spectacular signature could be when, if one would produce microscopic black holes. And this has given quite a lot of discussion, I think, also in the media.
The universe would be a fundamentally different place. There'd be no life, there'd be no stars.
Inside the world's biggest atom smasher.
And this is just a simulation.
Poison the whole city.
And this is just a simulation.
Earthly or unearthly? Baffling questions, astounding questions, that not even the world's greatest scientific minds can answer.
Here is a desperate plunge into the black depths of the earth, where human courage challenges the brute force, the slashing jaws, the poison fangs that guard the subterranean nest where the beast spawns its terrible progeny.
To all units, condition red. Drain 267 is the target area. Repeat, condition red. Drain 267 is the target area.
Yes, and if you want to look at one of the horsemen of the apocalypse, or if you see this man in your town, as he said, you're bleeped.
Yeah, yeah, you're in deep trouble. Deep trouble!
Gentlemen, you realize what we've found.
Microscopic black holes.
All right. Here is the best thing I've read all night. Dear Clyde, if your car is stolen, they can use GPS to find it. If you vanish with your phone, they can use GPS to find you. Barbara Starr on CNN said yesterday the NSA has real-time live satellites covering every part of the globe 24/7, and yet they have no recording of what happened to the airliner with 239 people aboard. I don't want to say it's aliens, but it's aliens. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Let's go to Ed in Washington. Hi, Ed. You're on Ground Zero.
I'm a regular listening to you usually 5 days a week.
Yeah.
From Kelso, Washington. You know, it took 4 days to find the Air France flight that out from Brazil that fell in the Atlantic. They're going to find this plane probably by the end of the week. And, you know, I think the turn is evident of some kind of, well, problem. Of course, mm-hmm. I also heard there was five people that checked baggage that didn't board the flight.
Yeah?
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you fine. Okay. Uh-huh.
So, generally, it's a catastrophic failure of of some kind or another, whether it's the security, whether it's the airplane, you know, it's virtually impossible to land a 200-foot-wide airplane in a jungle airstrip because you need 2 miles of 1-foot-thick concrete to land it on.
Okay.
And another thing on this 300-gram, stone or meteor, that's 11 ounces. So, you know, the size of a pop can. Yeah, but it's not going to vaporize an airplane.
Yes, it would. It would cause an airplane to completely be pulverized. I didn't say it would vaporize it. It would pulverize. In other words, it would rip through it, and it would turn it to dust.
Well, it can't turn every molecule to dust. I mean,
no one's talking about a molecular level here. We're talking about it's catastrophic to the aircraft, and that it would completely turn it to small pieces that would probably not show up anywhere.
Well, there's got to be. If it hit the water, there's going to be some kind of debris or something, unless it landed like a pancake. So,
chalk.
You know,
it'll look like chalk from a chalkboard. Chalk from a chalkboard.
I realize my connection is not real good.
No. You sound fine. You just sound like, what are you doing? Are you flying? What are you doing?
I'm driving up I-5.
Oh, okay. So that explains. Well, you sound like you're flying up I-5. So you better check that speedometer, buddy. That's all.
You might say it's a slow roll.
Oh, a slow roll. Okay, Ed.
Yeah. This plane's going to turn up. I put $10 on it. Favorite charity that. It's going to turn up by the end of the week.
All right, $10 says that it's going to show up. Okay.
Okay.
Call me back and say I told you. Call me back and say I told you so, and rub my nose in it like a doggy rubs the nose in a poop.
You know, as far as these crazy explanations, I mean, you know, yeah, that'll be the day. Then we all better look out.
Well, I hope it is aliens, because I sure as hell am tired of talking about the possibility of aliens. I want it to be aliens, damn it. I tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
all right, Ed.
Have a pleasant evening, sir.
You too. Bye-bye. Right. Yeah, why not? Aliens. Aliens.
Aliens.
Sarah in San Diego, you're on Ground Zero.
Hi. I'm sorry I'm laughing. But, you know, I listen to a lot of radio. I like it. And the reason I called tonight is because I really like that you're bringing up what's the motive for it.
Yeah.
That's why I was laughing about the aliens, because here's my theory. It has to do with stealing. That's why this is going on. It has to do with stealing.
Stealing?
And stealing has to do with stealing. Yeah, stealing, thievery.
Okay.
What would people be stealing? Thievery and stealing has to do with boundaries. It has to do with boundaries, whether it's at an individual personal level or a group family level or a community level.
Mm-hmm.
It has to do with boundaries. Now, we know that there are issues. These guys have been fighting over boundaries forever, as long as we've known it. So, once again, I like that you're bringing up the motive.
Mm-hmm.
With technology, as far as technology goes, I did a little poking around, you know, to see if there wasn't something over there that maybe would be valuable, that people would want. And
mm-hmm.
What I found out was that actually there was some legislation passed right in that area in January. That's not too far long ago.
No, not at all.
So, right, say, tightening up the boundaries over there. Then I also found out that actually they have a good deal of gas and oil over there.
Of course.
And then there's the food. There's
yes.
the fish.
Uh-huh.
Here's what else. So, I know it's fun to talk about technology.
Sure.
But once again, it's why.
So somebody got smart enough to steal an aircraft, and they're there to steal more than just what they're stealing now?
Think about it.
Yeah?
We especially know this in the United States. We have an opportunity, and some of us have experienced maybe growing up impoverished, and then, you know, we work our way, and all of a sudden we have money. What's one of the first things that you do? Your food gets better.
Mm-hmm.
You're eating really good food.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about these technologies, it gets kids onto a different track, a different train of right. thought. What I'm saying is that food is still really, really valuable. Now, they've got a big ocean over there.
Yes.
And we've had Fukushima, where a lot of the food is getting destroyed. So in addition to the oil and the gas, there's the food, okay, over there. They know that because they've tightened up the boundaries. They're still fighting over whose boundaries it is.
So you're going with the fundamental demon of all time, and that is mammon, greed. They're stealing.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and the technology, but the technology is interesting in this way.
Okay.
You know, if we can use it to spy on each other in these extreme ways, we live in a world of duality.
Yes.
Why haven't we thought of this? By the same token, we can disappear. What would be the use of that? To get in under the radar, so to speak.
Ooh, okay. You're coining a phrase. You're playing with words, and you're doing it really well. Getting under the radar like that plane did.
Yeah, of course. Why? Well,
because you're brilliant. That's why.
But we need to infiltrate. And we've got all these, the TSA, we've got the Google Glass, we've got all the high tech to spy on.
Right.
Sure, right, that nobody gets under the radar.
Uh-huh.
So, see, this could be simply a case of somebody trying to get in under the radar, to infiltrate.
In order to steal.
Yes. And if you live, you have to live, I think, in a community where stealing is sort of a way of life.
Okay.
You kind of know what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir, I do, as a matter of fact. And I thank you for your call. And this is dedicated to you, okay? I'm going to play you a song, so be listening, okay? I'm going to put you on hold. Here we go. This is for you.
Everything about it is appealing, stealing everything the traffic will allow. Nowhere could you get that happy feeling when you are stealing people like show people. There's no stealing like stealing show people. The headaches, the heartaches, the backaches, the flops. Even when you are stealing the turkey that you know will hold, you may be stealing out in the cold. Then you wouldn't change it for a sack of gold. Let's go on with the stealing.
What do you think of that? There you go. It's all for you, Sarah. It's all about stealing. Dealing. Okay, you have a great night. Okay?
Jolly gosh, thank you, Clyde.
You got it. Good night. Yeah, it's all about the stealing, baby.
Angels come from everywhere with lots of music. And when you worship it, there's no attack. Where could you get music? Take it out, give back. And top of that, you get that happy feeling. When you are stealing, that is the music.
It's all about stealing. I'm Clyde Lewis. You are listening to Ground Zero, and we'll be back.
FM News 101 KXL. This is Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis on FM News 101.
Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis.
Good out of Paul in Houston, Texas. You're on Ground Zero.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how you doing?
There's something that nobody's ever talked about.
What's that?
And there's about a year and three quarters ago, what happened to one of our drones? Now, forget the terroristic thing. Forget that. We're talking about hackers. They had some very talented people. They went and stole our, right out of the air, stole our drone, compromised the control system, the communication system, and they safely landed it and put it in their hangar, and we did not know where that thing was for 4 days until they went on television to put it in our face. Now, they still have that drone. Now, drones have the most sophisticated communication system. They are supposed to be fail-safe.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's go to a 777, same integrated system. Once you get into the seat, you've got total control over that aircraft. And who are the most clever people in the world about playing with computers? It's the people in the Orient. They're always hacking into our
stuff. I thought you were going to say geeks in their mother's basements. I think they're pretty good at it as well. I didn't know that the Chinese are all pretty much smart. What's that?
I'm not talking about the government.
Oh.
They could be a geek. They could be. But the curvature of the world, they would lose that signal within 200 miles because they did track it. So there's something up with this if this is what happened. And it's really funny. The government's never talked about anything. Nobody's associated with Iran. And you stop to think about that. How can anybody steal one of our drones and safely land it, and we don't even know where it's at?
I don't know. They can hack into the drone system, and according to what I'm reading, the Boeing warned the governments that the 777, their computers could be hacked. So maybe we have a case of hacked computers.
Yeah, but the signal for the curvature of their world would be lost, and so it would have to be strategically put together by a series of hackers.
Perhaps.
And maybe they lost control of it, and it is crashed. Who knows? Let's put it this way. The world is not safe with computers. And I think this is what they're afraid to bring out and lay it on the table here. Because who would get on an airplane if they thought somebody could bring it down? Some yahoo in granny's basement.
Amazing. That could be it. I wouldn't. I mean, they have the power to do it. I mean, that's just it. You know, did they have the power to hack these planes when the planes went into the towers? Did they have the power to hack the planes at any time? Could we have a plane just go absolutely rogue and take out anything? I mean, yeah, turning these commercial jets into weapons, not too hard for those who are well inclined to know how to, hack the systems. They could do it to cars. Why not do it to aircraft? You know?
Well, there's another point in this. When they were turned around and they were headed, and some people said they seen the aircraft, but nobody ever heard it crash. Nobody ever witnessed anything like that. We haven't found anything. Now, those islands are all populated. They're sparsely populated, but they are populated.
Yes.
They're populated. But they have the ability, I'm 66 years old. Hey, I'm the guy that was in St. George, remember?
Yes, Paul, and you know what we're doing tonight? We're trying to solve all the problems of the world, and I'm getting a headache. No, I'm just kidding. I love your call, Paul. Thank you for calling tonight.
You're welcome, guy.
You're the man.
Awesome.
You're the man, buddy. Thanks for calling in tonight. Yeah, thanks, Paul. Houston, Texas. It's just difficult to try and figure out what's going on. I'm glad, you know. Who are these planners? They're like sitting there, okay, so how do we find a needle in a haystack? Well, let's build a haystack first. And then maybe we'll find a needle in it. I don't know. Here's a question for the next hour. Do you think they're going to find the plane eventually? Or do you think this is going to go down to one of the greatest mysteries of all time, like the Lindbergh baby or D.B. Cooper or something like that? 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. We'll be back.
FM News 101 KXL.
Some of the scenes you will witness may appear to border on fantasy.
Stand by.
You have 5 seconds. Five.
Information is free.
Four.
Three.
There
two,
is
hope.
One.
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"We see it."
The loudspeaker spoke up and said, the loudspeaker spoke up and said, "Give up! Give up! Give up! Give up!
Give up! Give up! Give up! Give up!
I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. There's so many things, so many stories that are being sent to me about what could have happened to Flight 370, MH Flight 370. The numbers are amazing when you look at the fact that 370 was missing on 37 at 37,000 feet. Going about 3,700 kilometers per hour before it came down. And you look at the synchronicities of the numbers, the synchronicities of the time where it went down in a place called, well, it was in the area known as the Dragon's Triangle or the Devil's Sea. And it reminds me of a little something I did at WFLA and on the Learning Channel. For those of you that watch the Learning Channel, every once in a while you catch this little show called Return to the Bermuda Triangle. And here's what I said when I appeared on that show.
This is Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis.
Today we talk about the Bermuda Triangle. You may have heard of it as the Devil's Triangle or Satan's Triangle. It's a very, very...
Late night radio host Clyde Lewis has spent years reporting on the bizarre disappearances and events in the Bermuda Triangle.
You know, when I was a kid...
He's convinced that there's a huge supernatural force at work out there.
We know that phosphorescent gases come up out of the ocean. We know that all these things happen. But what we don't take into account is that the planet is electromagnetically driven. There are places where you can actually feel the power in them. Areas of this planet where if magnetics come together at just the right frequency and at just the right space and time, something opens up, and if you just happen to be there, you can go through, and maybe you won't be able to come back down.
There you go. Kind of creepy. Yeah. I mean, I had a lot of fun. I was at WFLA when we filmed that. And we were talking a lot about Flight 19 because there was the possibility that someone had found wreckage. Now, for those of you that don't know what Flight 19 is, it was actually a group of Avengers. Five planes. It wasn't just one plane. It was five planes on the 5th of December, 1945, where in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, shortly after 2 p.m., there were five military airplanes. They were called Avengers. They took off on a training mission that would take them out over the Gulf of Florida. They were fully fueled, good condition. And what happened, no one expected, but the planes just disappeared. They had been in the air for about 90 minutes. Training mission was almost complete, but as they turned home, something went terribly wrong. A ground-based flight instructor named Robert Cox was tuning his radio when he picked up a strange message transmitted between the planes of Flight 19. One of the captains, Edward Powers, could be heard saying in a puzzled tone, "I don't know where we are. We must have got lost after the last turn." This was followed by another mysterious message. "Everything looks strange, even the ocean," said one of the voices. Another pilot could be heard saying, "It looks like we're entering white water. We're completely lost." And there was a crackling message picked up much later at about 6:20 p.m. After that, there was no radio at all. It was all silent. The five planes of Flight 19 had disappeared without a trace and were never seen again, nor indeed were the 14 airmen on board. It's still, to this day, one of the great mysteries of the 20th century. And no one knows exactly what happened. And it didn't take long for a lot of theories to appear in the press. The fact that this appearance occurred in the Bermuda Triangle, where numerous other planes and ships had gone missing, only fueled the sense that some mysterious force was actually creating this. And a lot of there have been some people who claim they found these Avengers in the water, but they haven't been able to be clear yet. And whether or not they were lost because of compass readings or magnetic failures or what have you is another guess. But the question remains now that we've had a number of planes, many planes disappear and have not been accounted for. Many of them, when they disappear, it's always some sort of supernatural explanation or strange explanation as to where they might have gone. The Malaysian plane is no exception, but the question I have for some of you that are just wanting to call in now, and there are a few of you that I'll get to that you don't want to talk about this, their theories. I want to know if you think the plane's ever going to be found, and if they do find it, where will they find it? 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. We go to Seth in Portland, Oregon. You're on Ground Zero.
Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Oh, hey. So I have a theory about what happened to the plane. There was actually an event that happened in the Bermuda Triangle where this little plane, you know, nothing more than a puddle jumper, was carrying, two passengers other than the pilot. It took off from one of the surrounding islands heading up towards Palm Beach. And about halfway, it entered a cloud. And the pilot describes a swirling vortex going around him as he was passing through. Now, also, radio transmissions were able to go in, and, you know, they were able to come out, but he completely dropped off the radar, from anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking possibly a similar occurrence might have happened over in that area to that plane, and it's just very prolonged.
Well, that area, I mean, are you familiar with, they call it the Dragon's Triangle. And it's that whole area is called the Dragon's Triangle. It's actually the Chinese Far Eastern Bermuda Triangle type place. They call it the Dragon's Triangle. They call it the Devil's Sea. And if you fly over, you end up, you know, disappearing. There have been a lot of disappearances over that area. So, I mean, you know, if you want to chalk it up to something similar to what goes on in the Bermuda Triangle, and there's also something called the Block Island Triangle, which really isn't a triangle at all. It's more or less a block where the Titanic took place, where Flight 800 took place, 111 took place. John Kennedy crashed down in that area. It's the area where Whitley Strieber was abducted. That whole area is known as the Block Island Triangle. And that's it's northern East Coast, northern Atlantic.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there are a number of places. And I think what they are is they're magnetic, either active spots or magnetic active spots or magnetic dead spots. And that's why they wind up in these vortices or these vortexes. And what happens is they lose contact and they get lost and they wind up in some place they've never been before.
You know, why I made the point of the transmissions going in and out is because how people have been going on about the cell phone thing.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. What was I saying? Oh, yeah.
Cell phones.
Into the cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people can get the messages in. And you said that if it was going through, like, a wormhole, you know, transmissions wouldn't go through.
Mm-hmm.
But in the vortex, you know, they're able to receive radio transmissions, so that would explain how messages are going in. But maybe the passengers can't access their phone somehow.
Yeah, it's stuff like this. You know, it's really funny. It's stuff like this, missing planes, missing boats. You know, I've forgotten just how creepy the whole idea sounds, like a phantom, like the Flying Dutchman and other phantom stories of boats that have, like, for example, the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald and several other stories that are mysterious about people disappearing or boats disappearing and then showing up or planes disappearing and then showing up. It always seems to baffle me that if the plane turns up somewhere with the occupants missing, the question is, where did they go and what happened to them? Amelia Earhart's another mystery. All of these mysteries Lindbergh, you know, everything, the Lindbergh baby. These are mysteries. And I'm, you know, and I also find myself interested in things like D.B. Cooper as well. You know, whatever happened to him, you know, as he jumped into history, did he disappear? Did he go on to be a friend of mine named Wolfgang Gossett, or did he, or was he somebody completely different? That's the question. So, I mean, a lot of great mysteries here. And I don't know. I do you think they're going to find the plane, or do you think they're not going to find the plane?
I think eventually they may find it, because in the instance in the Bermuda Triangle, he ended up popping out over Miami. Mm-hmm. So there is an end to this vortex. So I think they're going to find it eventually, perhaps in the near future, perhaps not.
Okay. Well, Seth, thank you for the call.
You're welcome.
Take care. Bye-bye. We're going to take a break. So he says they may find the plane eventually. It may take a while. Wouldn't it be weird if the plane had been gone for months and then shows up again somewhere? And the people in the plane have something to tell us. I used to joke with a colleague of mine that if we were ever flying a plane and we knew we were going to crash, we would say, "Oh my gosh, look, it's full of stars. They're real. The aliens want..." And the radio would go dead. And the whole world would have to record the fact that that was the last prank we'd ever do to people. I just thought it'd be a funny prank. We'd be dead. We wouldn't care. The whole world would then, wouldn't they? We'll be back.
FM News 101 KXL.
This is Ground Zero on FM News 101.
This is not a test. It is the future. Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis.
888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Let's go to Nick in Ann Arbor, Michigan. You're on Ground Zero. Go ahead, Nick.
Good evening.
Good evening. What's up, man?
Okay, so...
So?
We have Star Trek technology deployed on 9/11, according to Dr. Judy Wood.
Yeah.
Which vaporized 1,100 American people.
Yes.
At Ground Zero, along with various matter, including something like 80 to 90% of the structural matter of the towers, including Building 7.
Mm-hmm.
As I look upon the similarities, and by the way, if the name Field McConnell means nothing, it will now. Field McConnell was a fighter pilot from Vietnam who became a captain in the airlines business, resigned his position October 05 when people inside the defense industry alerted him to the fact that all of the domestic airlines jets, including those on 9/11, are equipped with military gyroships, which allow remote satellite control. So he resigned and originally formed a website, Hawks, with an S, Hawks Cafe. Recently I heard from Karen Hewitt in an interview that she and Field McConnell had joined up, teamed up, and apparently had something called Able Danger. But relative to this here plane incident, it smacks me that it was vaporized. And why I say that, other than 9/11, is because on STS-48, which was the last live real-time shuttle cam transmission, the astronauts actually witnessed and commented about a UFO, which they observed on the horizon, their perspective. And then suddenly, a laser shot immediately after the UFO had reversed its course, maybe a second after it had reversed.
Yeah, it comes up from the Earth.
Yeah, from the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the X-Files, there was an episode where a satellite laser took out a building. And I don't think Hollywood dreams up these ideas. And if they've had satellites, DARPA, et cetera, and I think this is another reason why JFK did not trust the CIA and the military. I mean, he had obvious reasons, Bay of Pigs, Cuban Missile Crisis, et cetera. Nor did he want the Middle East to go nuclear vis-a-vis Israel. So here we have satellites in space that can photograph license plates, that can, I'm sure, monitor conversations. They have technology that can extract conversations from window glass. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They obviously have technology that, in the case of Michael Hastings, well, you saw what happened there. John Lear is on record stating that there's a secret astronaut program, and that the obvious one that Congress supposedly funds is just for public pacification. And so the secret astronaut program involves super high-tech advanced technology, including fusion, probably warp drive also, I think he said. So they've been visiting all the planet for probably, I think he said, 30 years. So I don't buy. And then why is it that they just yesterday said, oh, well, we have military radar data. After the NTS shows up and the United States military shows up, now they have supposedly valid military radar data. You know, this is such a charade. And furthermore, it also beckons the fact that Russia, with their highly perfected Nikola Tesla technology, Gander Newfoundland, 1980. This was put out by T.E. Bearden, a retired military nuclear physicist, Tom Bearden. I read a report about the Gander Newfoundland 1980 crash. Eyewitnesses saw the fuselage glowing reddish-orange.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't buy media. CIA, as you know, Operation Mockingbird, et cetera. They took over the media after JFK was murdered. They took over everything, okay? CIA, Mossad took over. They did 9/11. Synagogue of Satan, Andrew Carrington Hitchcock has all the damning data, okay? And if you could ever get a hold of Scott DiCarlo, one of the New Jersey police officers who arrested a couple hundred Israeli Mossad operatives who were subsequently deported back to Israel, once Ehud Olmert and other Israeli people contacted Giuliani. I say Giuliani.
Yeah.
Michael Chertoff. Chertoff's parents, by the way, his mother was one of the, she was, I think, the original woman Assad operative. And his daddy, a dual Israeli rabbi, along with Dov Zakheim.
Well, what you've done, Nick, what you've done is you spent a whole time just, you know, you're talking about the plane, but you kind of link every conspiracy in on it, and you've got to find yourself in a situation where you focus. So are you kind of saying that the Jews took out this plane?
I'm saying if you examine the mad scientists, masters of disaster, J. Robert Oppenheimer, who after the original...
So you're saying the Jews took out the plane, right?
I'm saying...
The Jews took out the plane.
Satan.
Yeah, the Jews. You're saying the Jews took out the plane.
FM News 101 KXL.
More with Clyde Lewis and Ground Zero on FM News 101.
heavenly body right here in our solar system. Evidence is now that either a brown dwarf star or a gas giant planet is lurking at the outermost reaches of our solar system, far beyond the planet Pluto. According to the British newspaper, The Independent, the object is four times the size of Jupiter. Experts say the presence of such a massive object could explain why a barrage of comets has been coming from that direction.
The catastrophes described in ancient sources were traumatic experiences common to all mankind. Purged from conscious memory, these records are now interpreted as allegories, metaphors. Mountains were born and mountains collapsed. Land and sea changed places. Great streams of lava flowed. The sea boiled and evaporated. Such were the scenes of unimaginable violence during the times of global catastrophe, as recorded by the ancients.
Well, the story is out of this world from Florida. So a seven-year-old was out playing outside his house, right? He was bleeding from the head. Parents were worried, but, you know, the first instinct was maybe horseplay or, I don't know, a chestnut dropped from a tree or, you know, whatever it might have been in Florida. It wasn't big enough to be a coconut, but it was. According to CNN affiliate WPEC, the boy's father thought a bird might have snapped at him. But then he found those little fragments of rock as evidence and thought his son was hit by a meteorite. Now you might say, this is crazy. But hold on, because the father had the rocks then checked out, and researchers at Florida Atlantic University confirmed that they all meet meteorite criteria, including magnetic pole. These are things you never thought you needed to be afraid of with your children. Isn't that scary?
In these catastrophes, entire species of animals were annihilated. Mankind was decimated. Civilizations destroyed.
Isn't that scary?
I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. Numbers to call tonight, 888-673-3700. It's 888-673-3700. Is this plane, the 370, the MH370, is this like Flight 19? Is it not going to be found? Like the one in the Bermuda Triangle? I mean, and is anyone going to, you know, speculate that we may have seen this thing fly into the Dragon's Triangle and it just disappeared? And no one's looking there? 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Let's go to Virginia and Pennsylvania. You're on Ground Zero.
Hi, Clyde. How are you?
Good.
I just wanted to call. Last night, I thought, with hearing, you know, the different stories on the news that the plane had been hijacked, mostly going on the fact that someone with expertise could get in there into the two boxes that were in there and do whatever they had to make them unidentifiable by radar. And then hearing tonight on your show that there was a story out there that 20 employees, semiconductor employees, were on board. And then I just heard the gentleman on that you had, and he said they were very close to Iran, the plane. And my thinking is that it's going to be used as a weapon, but I think as a weapon in the fact of maybe taking some grids out, because they have, these men have the expertise. I'm not saying all 20 of them, but I think there would have to be a group of them that could take over a plane with that many passengers on board. I don't think it's just one or two people. And so my thought that, you know, because, and then again, Freescale, I'm on the internet now, they do have commercial products that can meet the requirements of applications such as avionics, electronic warfare, and battleground communications. So, I mean, that was my thought on it. I don't know if that gentleman is still on that was speaking. And one of the owners is from Israel of the semiconductor company.
Yeah.
So it's just a thought. I didn't know what you
Well, but, it, you, but his argument was that, you know, anytime there's a Jew on board, it's always the Jew's fault. Anytime a Muslim's on board, a Muslim's a terrorist. And that's a no-braining thinking type of idea.
Yeah,
look,
no,
there are Jews, there are Christians, there are Muslims, and they all work together.
I wouldn't want to think that because I am so in favor of Israel and are helping them all we can.
But see, when somebody calls up and they want to point everything towards the Jews, I just sit there and I say to myself, you know, can we be a little bit more creative here? I mean, who cares if he's a Jew or a Protestant or a cross-dressing satanic vegetarian? It doesn't matter. Criminality is criminality.
Right. But and I'm not saying that because I am so in favor of them. And but it did mention one of the owners was. But what I'm saying is maybe these 20 people that are working, these semiconductors are against them. Are you following me? You don't know.
You don't know if these guys are plotting or if they were just going to go have a nice little cookie get together and drink cookies and or eat cookies and drink coffee. I mean, I don't know. That's the whole thing. I mean, it's all theory.
I think it is going to be used as a weapon in some way, and I think that it's going to be some kind of an electronic warfare. Who it's directed towards? It could be towards Israel. It could be towards the United States. They're 11 hours away from New York City. Vietnam is. I went in and went to do how many hours it would take to get from Vietnam to New York City,
mm-hmm.
and 11 hours. And then that gentleman just said they'd have enough fuel, 11 hours of fuel on board. But I do think that they're on the ground somewhere waiting.
Yeah.
I think they're just waiting for their time when they're going to take off. And those men also, those semiconductors, they know exactly how to disable them so that they would never be able to be detected by radar. And like I said, again, they do have the expertise. I'm not saying all of them. Maybe some of them are there. Who knows what they are? You don't know.
No.
With the way the world is today.
Right.
And it could be directed at any country.
Right. There's no respecter of borders when it comes to criminality, that's for sure. Virginia, thank you for your call.
No.
Thank you for calling in tonight.
Okay, you're welcome. Thank
you. Good night.
You.
Thank you. Take care. Let's go to Estrella in Houston, Texas. You're on Ground Zero.
Yeah, I just wanted to let you know about the cell phone. It's not a story. Let me explain to you. The cell phone, your device, when it's broken or whatever, you can remote access that cell phone by any other phone in the world because your voicemail is actually out on the cloud, not on the device itself.
Right.
So what they need to do is ping the device
mm-hmm.
to see if that device is dead in the water or not. You see?
So what do they ping it to see if there's a response?
Yes, they can ping that device and see if it's a dead device.
Hmm. So maybe we should ping, that's what they should do, they should ping it. But they're not pinging,
yeah,
they're just calling it. And
and
not only that, but the idea that it's still on the email or on the fast blast email or whatever they call it. I mean, I used to be on chat sometimes and it'd say that I hadn't logged off forever. Sometimes it says I didn't even log off Facebook and people are trying to contact me. What are you doing? You're on Facebook. You're a rude guy. You're so stuck up. We don't like you. I'm glad I've never been on.
Well,
I'm not even on.
You can actually, your signal can get stuck on a tower. I used to have to get them off there all the time. They'd get stuck on towers.
Mm-hmm. And chances are, wherever they are, there's got to be a cell phone tower for those phones to go through, right?
No, because your phone could be dead. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know. That's the whole point. But see, and it's to prove your point. Your phone can be dead. So the chance of them being anywhere with their cell phone service is slim to nil. And so this whole idea of this telephone story, I think, is just a cocked up, a propped up story to get people to go, oh, yeah, it's weird. It's weird. Wow, I wonder. But no, it's not weird.
I mean, well, unless the phone, they had a device on the plane that allows cell phone, like when you go on cruises,
mm-hmm.
how any, I know like Carnival Cruises, they use AT&T, so no matter who you have, you're going to use AT&T service while you're on their boat.
Yeah.
So that you have. So unless the planes now have that kind of technology, I don't know if they bother to put them in the planes.
I don't know either. Well, then again, they say, how do we know how Malaysian phones work? I go, well, we don't, but that's the whole point. Don't they all come from, like, Asia? Don't they come from China?
Yeah.
Don't they come from Japan?
Yeah.
I mean, Nokia, isn't that a name that comes from the Far East? Just want to know.
Yeah.
Or Samsung? Or Sony?
Well, what's weird about this scenario, when you were talking about the RFID chip maker on board,
yeah,
it's so weird because there's a movie with Eric Roberts that came out in 2012 called The Mark. And it's about this same scenario. They hijack a plane because this guy's got the mark of the beast on him.
I need to call Eric. You know, he's a friend of the show. He listens all the time. Maybe I can get a hold of him and see what he has to say about it.
Sequel also, there's a sequel. But I was looking at my calendar, and I know that you brought this up about the 2014 CU-13 asteroid.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That came, it's like up there right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was staying today. And then today's, there was a perihelion of another comet, 23EH1, okay? And then Holmes' perihelion was supposed to be on the 27th, but it broke apart.
Right.
So could all these little pieces up there, could we be going through the debris trail of Comet Holmes, which was a big comet?
Well, apparently somebody wrote me and said, yes, we're in the middle of a very, very, in fact, where the plane went down is in the middle of a very, very bad fireball storm, and the media is avoiding that story. They're avoiding it completely. So I don't know. I mean, I give the theory, and everybody else didn't want to believe the theory because they think that the chances of it happening are very slim to none. And I would say, you know, maybe with all the flights out there, with all the rocks coming out of the sky, the chances have changed. So I don't know. We'll just see what happens with that. I'm sure that I'll never be vindicated. I'm sure no one will vindicate me with this theory. But it's an interesting theory nonetheless. I appreciate you calling in, Estrella. Thank you.
No problem.
Take care. Bye-bye. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. More of your calls coming right up on Ground Zero. Don't go away.
FM News 101 KXL. More with Clyde Lewis on FM News 101.
This is not a test. It is the future. Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis.
Someone has illustrated the worst case scenario. The jet has been hijacked. And it's going to be used to detonate an EMP over the United States or some other country. It'll be loaded with a nuke. And this is the worst-case scenario that someone has dreamed up and placed on my website. While flying low, it can evade radar because of the electronic signatures that can be erased due to the electronic warfare type of activities that these young men do that are with this company, this semiconductor company. And that's a pretty interesting theory. I didn't think about that, that they could load that plane with a nuke and they could use it for a possible EMP. That'd be, it's interesting. Let's go to Carrie in North Carolina. You're on Ground Zero. Go ahead.
Hey, Clyde. How are you doing tonight?
Good.
You know, there's a lot of facts. I mean, we know a lot of facts, but a lot of them don't add up, right?
Right.
Like, for instance, the government or the military radar supposedly tracked them for an hour and several hundred miles after they turned, but waited 3 days to say anything. Kind of strange.
Yeah, I think so.
You have the Silicon Valley chip people on board who would have the ability to hack into a Boeing 777 and maybe take it over, as was discussed by another one of your callers. Well, let's put all these things together. Now, think about this. We had the Somali pirates for the last few years who have been hijacking boats and ships and getting anywhere from hundreds of thousands to millions of dollars for the returns. What do you think that a Boeing 777 with 239 people, what kind of ransom would that bring? What kind of ransom would the tech company pay for those 20 employees? What would the airlines pay for the jet? And who else was on the plane that might have been very wealthy? I mean, think about it. You could ask for $1 billion.
Yeah.
And if that was the case and they got the ransom call, that might be why they misdirected the search to buy time, because they're not going to make that public. Because that's like giving people the idea, I want to make $1 billion. I think I'll hack in and hijack a jet and demand $1 billion. So I do think the jet will eventually be found. And I think the people will turn up. And I think after then is when we're going to find out, you know, what really happened. But I just don't feel, from the very first, when the story broke and, you know, they kept saying they couldn't find it, I kept thinking this thing's been hijacked. And the more the details come out, the more I'm thinking that. I don't think it's going to be used as a weapon. I think it's going to be used as a bargaining chip for either money or some other sort of reward.
It's interesting. You know? Interesting thoughts. Yeah, Gary, that's great. We'll have to look into that. We'll have to watch the story as it transpires, and maybe you're right about that. I appreciate the call. Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks, Clyde. Have a good one.
You bet. Let's go to Joe in Salem, Oregon. You're on Ground Zero. Go ahead.
Hi, is this Clyde?
Yeah, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Wow. I've heard a lot of theories today, but I haven't heard anybody think of one that was optimistic that I was thinking about. I thought about, what if that plane was hijacked and the government agencies involved know exactly where it's at?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking they wouldn't say, divulge their information in order to protect the mission involved to rescue the people that were hijacked.
So you're saying that they know where it is, but they're holding off because they need the distraction in the media for some reason.
Exactly. That's one theory I have. I have no evidence to support that, but from what I've been listening to, all the information that's come across the news is pretty sketchy.
Well, we'll have to see if anything turns up and if they are extending it. Wouldn't that be weird if they do find them safe and sound? That would really make it look kind of staged. So that's a good theory, Joe. Thank you for the call. That's amazing. And Adam, send us home. What's going on? Vancouver, Washington. You're on Ground Zero.
Yeah, just right across the river from your workplace there. Clyde, I've been listening to your show about 5 months, and I've come to determine I think you're a cross between Philip Seymour Hoffman and maybe a John Tesh.
I'm the fat John Tesh.
I hope that's not too offensive.
No, it's not. Really, as a matter of fact, you know, I'll tell you what. I had an opportunity to spend some time with John Tesh. And I told him that there was a time I actually did a Ground Zero show. John Tesh is the Antichrist. And I told him about it. And we had a good laugh about it because I thought, you know, no guy with a voice like that who can play the piano, who's good looking and as nice as he is, can be real. And he's the most real, down to earth, coolest guy I ever had a chance to sit and talk to. And he laughed about the Antichrist joke. He just thought my show was wonderful. He's a good man. I love John.
He is. And that's what brings me to the Philip Seymour Hoffman side of you. You know, you got that dark side that's intelligent and calculating. And your show is very informative. So
thank you.
I really appreciate your format. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hey, you know, I was glad to think about this flight. You know, it just screams ops. It just screams like there's some sort of covert action on our government to somehow blame, you know, with these Seattle planes that landed at the wrong airport. I think it's really a legitimate chance that maybe someone like our government has allowed that to happen, to hack into some navigation system.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that these people that may have been on the plane could have been, you know, the government contractors that knew exactly what transponders to shut down so that the plane was basically untraceable.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many different parallels, like where, you know, that thing was flying. Obviously, maybe our government entity that knew that there was some Iranian-type covert double agents that were trying to defect it to Germany.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they knew that these guys had, you know, actually maybe the final piece of the puzzle for Iran to actually have, you know, trade secrets to make their nuclear program work. And
well, once again, Adam, we go back to the idea, which was said on my website, that they could actually load this plane with a nuke and no one would suspect it because it looks like a commercial jet. It just disappears and all of a sudden, out of the blue, a commercial jet comes in, repainted, unknown, flying in, boom, boom, EMP, something, and that would be horrible. And I don't know. I mean, we've gone from the possibility of meteors to the possibility of hijacked planes and nuclear weapons, and I think that we hope, with all the theories, that we somehow can see an optimistic bent on this, but a lot of people don't see it. They think the plane is lost. And maybe it's going to be one of the great mysteries. I hope it is one of the great mysteries. That way we don't have to hear about the loss of life. We just need to hear about where did it go and why. So that's I guess that's the only comforting thing I can think of right now. Where did it go and why? And it'd be something to talk about for years to come. In the meantime, join us tomorrow night on Ground Zero with another show. Thank you so much. Have a great night.
FM News 101 KXL.